Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room on this special Halloween broadcast. We have a very, very good show for you today, including some archival footage that we're going to show you in the third hour. But we got a lot of news to get into today. I'm going to try to open up the phone lines for your calls in the second hour, but no promises, because I got a lot to cover. I got a lot of videos to go to. Let's just get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 31st of October, 2025. Happy Halloween, everybody. Our first story is this. DOJ demands records on unexplained anomalies in 2020 election after Fulton County did not comply with subpoena. The Department of Justice sent a letter to Fulton County Board of Registration and Elections on Thursday demanding records related to what Georgia's Board of Elections has called, quote, unexplained anomalies in vote tabulation and storage related to the 2020 election in the county. Assistant AG for Civil Rights, Harmeet Dhillon, wrote on behalf of Attorney General Pam Bondi, quote, on behalf of the Attorney General of the United States, we request that you present for inspection in its entirety and most original forms all records in your possession responsive to the recent subpoena issued to your office by the State Election Board. Folks, don't let anybody tell you that elections don't matter. If you can get a legitimate election, like we did it had in 2024, we have gone from people going to jail for asking about the, or potentially being charged, being investigated, Arctic Frost being launched on the basis of asking questions to the Fulton County Elections Board about their impropriety, to that being an official stance of the DOJ. What a complete 180 we've turned on this topic. Meanwhile, FBI says potential terrorist attack thwarted in Michigan, 5 people arrested. FBI Director Cash Patel says a potential terrorist attack allegedly targeting Halloween weekend in Michigan was thwarted by the FBI on Friday morning. 5 people between the ages of 16 and 20 were arrested Friday, CBS News has learned. Authorities say they were inspired by a former member of the Michigan Army National Guard who was arrested in May for allegedly planning an ISIS-inspired attack against a U.S. Army site in suburban Detroit. They're accused of providing support for a planned attack on the U.S. Army's Tank Automotive and Armaments Command facility at the Detroit Arsenal, but that was apparently foiled. We'll, you know, bring you more on that later. But yeah, it seems like what we've done over the last couple decades is, you know, import a foreign hostile army that's, you know, starting to carry out attacks. So great. Meanwhile, Trump administration reportedly planning strikes on Venezuelan military targets. The United States has deployed more than 10,000 personnel across the Caribbean theater and built a large naval and air presence in the recent months, while Donald Trump has denied on October 31st, 2025, considering strikes inside Venezuela. But that's what all of the signs point to. And we're still waiting on, you know, the conclusion of this, of the menacing that America is doing. Again, I have questions myself about the propriety of all of this action, but we'll get to that later. Meanwhile, UPenn computer system hacked, email calls, calls college dog crap elitist institution full of woke retards. They actually sent out an email from the official university email account basically saying your email or your university is stupid. Their security is crap because they don't hire people for their merit. And it's run by a bunch of woke idiots and DEI hires. So, you know, security suffers just like grades suffer, just like the country suffers. And finally, we have this. What's a filibuster and why does Trump want to kill it? This has been a story reverberating around for the last 24 hours that Donald Trump is calling on Senate Republicans to end the custom of the filibuster, which has bedeviled majority parties for years. The Democrats have been able to shut down the government and keep it shut down through this rule. Trump wants it eliminated. John Thune has refused to do so. And so the shutdown continues. SNAP benefits have been extended thanks to a judge's ruling out of Massachusetts. So, you know, we maybe have a bit of a reprieve before the riots fully start. Also, we got to check in on the Prince of England because it's not going so well. His long storied friendship with Jeffrey Epstein really biting him in the ass. A lot more stories to come, folks. Stay tuned for this Halloween edition of The War Room.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this Halloween edition of The War Room. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. A lot of big news stories. And we're going to have a special broadcast, too, at the end of the show. We're going to watch some real spooky content. Some real ghoulish activity in the woods in California. I think you know what I'm talking about. But we got a lot to get to before then. And I want to start with a follow-up to a story yesterday. The story yesterday was this. Former Media Matters activist, current Dem congressional candidate Kate Abougazlil, indicted by feds for a violent ICE protest in Chicago suburb. So we talked about this. We showed you a little bit of her statement where she was lying about what she was doing. Like, I was just protesting near an ICE facility. And then there's the video of her blocking the vehicle and banging on it and attacking it. And I got a video to show you. I got a follow-up video to this. She was being interviewed by somebody who asked her about this, and it didn't go well. It didn't go very well. See, the person made the mistake of showing the video of what this woman actually did. That's very inconvenient because she's trying to lie about what she did. She's trying to portray the crime she's been charged with as political persecution, which doesn't really work when you're showing videos of them committing the actual crime they've been charged with. So, you know, this is something that the left has to, they got to get on the same page. If you're going to be interviewing somebody who's a communist, socialist, subversive liar, you got to get on the same page with them. Do we show the video? Do we not show the video? You can't be blowing up the spot of somebody whose entire political career depends on carefully maintained deception. This should be communism 101 for these people. They didn't know. They weren't prepared for the level of deception necessary to get elected in America with policies that everybody despises. Let's go to clip number 8 here. This is Kate Abba whatever. Literally running away. This is one of the strangest interactions on a interview I've maybe ever seen. Very strange, very bizarre. You can see the discomfort of Kat, and then she runs away. Let's watch.
The indictment alleges that you and others, quote, surrounded a federal officer's vehicle, banged on its hood and windows, etched pig on the side, and impeded movement. Did you etch the word pig on the side of an officer's car?
I'm not speaking to the specifics of anything that's in the indictment right now, but like I said, I do plan on pleading not guilty. Yeah. And the evidence will come out in court, and you know, I plan on winning.
Okay. Well, let's not watch the video of what happened that day that they are what do you think right now?
You know, Tara, once again, this is my first time being federally indicted. Like I said,
yeah.
I plan on pleading not guilty. The evidence will come out in court, and I plan on winning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Just really quickly, I did want to ask you about just the fact that, like, conspiracy to impede an officer is up to 6 years in prison, forcibly impeding and intimidating an officer is up to 8 years. Is that, like, that could actually hinder your ability to serve in Congress. Are you concerned about that? Did she just sign off? Did she just leave the chat? I'm so confused. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she gone. No, see, you showed the video that revealed that she was in fact guilty of the thing she just said she would be pleading not guilty for. That's, again, you're blowing up her spot here. Carefully maintain deception. That's the key to getting elected as a socialist in this country. So she runs away. She literally runs away without warning. That poor interviewer. We've all been there, but it's a technical issue. Usually they drop by accident. You ask a question, nobody answers. It's a little awkward for a moment, then they pop back on. And not this case, no. No, she's running away, which I don't blame her. Hell, if I was her, I'd be running away to Mexico. I'd be running away to Canada. If I got tricked into committing a felony, facing a combined 14 years behind bars for my stupid little political stunt that I was told that I'd be able to get away with because I'm a leftist and we never get in trouble. Yeah, if I'd fallen for that trick, I too would be running away out of the country, starting a new life as a sheep herder in Algeria or something. I'd get the hell away from justice. So good luck, Kat. Kat's on the run. She's on the run. And I suggest she flee the country, frankly. Her political career is over in a very big way. What do you expect? What do you expect to happen when you break the law like that, you absolute fool? Again, it's like we don't even need to persecute these people. They literally just break the law, and we just have to actually apply legitimate justice to their cases, and then the problem is solved by itself. Isn't that amazing? And we got a lot of politics to talk about, and some stuff that I don't think people are fully aware of, and perhaps you need this. Perhaps you need to know what's actually going on. For one thing, tariffs are up for discussion at the Supreme Court, and this could be a very big deal. I was talking to an investment banker, a hedge fund guy, today, and luckily, I don't have any money in the stock market because I consider it black magic witchcraft. I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. But if you do have money in the stock market, as most people do, you might want to make sure stop loss. Thanks, Crew. Crew knows more about economics than I do. You might want to make sure those are all shored up because, according to my source, if the Supreme Court goes against Trump on tariffs, which it's a thin line, it's looking like it might be 5-4 in favor of Trump, but certainly not a sure thing. And according to my source, it could potentially wipe out 15% of the stock market overnight. So that would be a very big deal. And this is a very big deal. It's such a big deal. The rumor is Donald Trump is planning on actually attending the Supreme Court hearing where the tariff issue is being decided. Which, as far as I can tell, would be, I believe, the first time a president has ever attended a Supreme Court hearing in this fashion. That should tell you what a big deal this is. From New York Magazine, why the Supreme Court might strike down Trump's tariffs. When the Supreme Court hears arguments next week on President Donald Trump's tariffs, prepare for crossed wires. Liberals who typically oppose Trump's economic policies will espouse traditionally conservative legal principles. Conservatives who prioritize doctrine over Trumpism will agree with those liberals, forming an unlikely alliance, and those who reflexively support anything Trump does, for the pure Trump of it all, will twist themselves into pretzels to justify the president's unbounded executive power grab. In the end, the court is likely, though not certain, to strike down Trump's tariff plan as presently constituted. So obviously this is New York Magazine, very leftist mag, trying to phrase it in the most unfriendly way possible. The fact is Trump does have the right and obligation to manage tariffs. That is his prerogative as president of the United States. And he has done so. if this Supreme Court decision goes against him, it wouldn't just mean, you know, reconfiguring his tariff policy. It would, I believe, and I really don't understand how this works, but somehow that would make them pay back the tariffs that they've already accrued. They've already gotten something like $300 billion from tariffs just this year. And that may have to be returned somehow, which I don't even understand how that would work. But the outcome of this Supreme Court case is going to be a big one, and you should be aware of it. Again, from SCOTUSblog.com, Trump's tariffs to face Supreme Court scrutiny. They'll be hearing this case on Wednesday, November 5th. The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments and a pair of challenges to President Donald Trump's power to impose sweeping tariffs on virtually all goods imported into the United States. The economic stakes are massive, but the cases are also an important test of the presidential power more broadly. This is a brief explainer of the issues on the case. So the dispute over the tariffs started in February when Trump began issuing a series of executive orders imposing tariffs. The tariffs can be divided into two categories. The first type, known as trafficking tariffs, target products of Canada, Mexico, and China because Trump says those countries have failed to do enough to stop the flow of fentanyl into the United States. The second category, known as worldwide or reciprocal tariffs, imposed a baseline tariff of 10% on virtually all countries and higher tariffs anywhere from 11 to 50% on dozens of them. In imposing worldwide tariffs, Trump cited large trade deficits as an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and economy of the United States. One case was filed in U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia by Learning Resources and Hand to Mine, two small family-owned companies that make educational toys with much of their manufacturing taking place in Asia. To survive, the companies say they would have to raise their prices by at least 70% to offset the high tariffs. Another case challenging the tariffs was brought by the U.S. Court of International Trade by several small businesses, including VOS Selections, a New York wine importer, and Terry Precision Cycling, which sells women's cycling apparel. They described the tariffs as an existential threat to the company. It was joined in a second case, also filed by the Court of International Trade, brought by 12 states, which say they're affected by the increased tariffs because they buy goods from overseas directly and purchase products were imported by others. Article 1 of the Constitution gives Congress the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, and requires that bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives. In issuing the executive order that imposed tariffs, Trump relied on primarily on a 1977 law, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, Section 1701 of IEEPA, provides that the president can use law to deal with any unusual and extraordinary threat which has its source in whole or substantial part outside the United States, the national security, foreign policy, or economy of the United States. If he declares a national emergency with respect to such threat, Section 1702 of the Act provides that when there is a national emergency, the president may regulate importation or exportation of property in which any foreign country or national thereof has any interest. So they will be approaching this question on Wednesday. Like I said, it looks like it's going to go Trump's way in a 5-4 split, but that is a very thin margin of victory and not one that I think people with their money in the stock market should be, you know, betting their life on, which is exactly what would be the case. So there you go. Meanwhile, four GOP senators sided with Democrats when it came to a vote to oppose Trump's tariffs. On Thursday, the Senate voted to disapprove President Donald Trump's use of tariffs in trade, with four GOP senators joining with the Democrats. Thursday's vote sought to terminate the national emergency powers Trump invoked to implement his reciprocal tariffs from earlier this summer, which ranged from 10 to 50% on imports from various countries. The measure narrowly passed 51 to 47, with Republicans Rand Paul, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, and Senator Susie Collins siding with the Democrats. However, the vote is largely symbolic, as the House Republicans' leaders have proposed any votes on tariff-related measures until March, and even if the House were to act, Congress would still need a two-thirds majority to override a veto from Trump. So it doesn't look like that's going to be happening anytime soon. But again, you got to wonder why folks like Rand Paul would oppose this, I guess, because it's a taking power from the Congress, away from the Congress and to the executive branch. But isn't this preferable to the immense taxation burden on the American people that we tax people who want to? I mean, these arguments have already been made. I think the tariffs are a great idea. I think they have been effective so far. They've raised a hell of a lot of money and prices have gone up, but they've been going up for long, long before any tariffs got involved. Let's talk about this terrorist attack that was thwarted in a Muslim-majority Michigan city. Early this morning, FBI Director Cash Patel and FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino announced they'd thwarted a potential terrorist attack in Michigan. In his post on X, Patel said several people were arrested, calling it an incredible success. In his X post, Patel thanked the men and women of the FBI. The suspects were allegedly planning a violent attack over Halloween weekend. Although the FBI has not named any of the suspects, Dearborn is a Muslim majority city and has recently been in the news. On September 9th, during a city council meeting, the city's mayor, Abdullah Hamoud, told Dearborn resident Ted Barham that he wasn't welcome in the city after he objected to Wayne County's decision to name a major street in Dearborn after longtime Arab American leader Osama Siblani. Barham's objection to the street being named after the 70-year-old Siblani was due to his ties to terrorist organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah. The Muslim Dearborn mayor has been criticized for what appears to be his attempt to alienate non-Muslims in the community while making obvious attempts to cater to the non-English-speaking Muslim immigrants. A perfect example of Mayor Hamoud's catering to the city's foreign population is his use of Arabic subtitles in his post on X, like the one posted in this article, which shows the Dearborn mayor introducing the city's latest all-Arabic magazine mailed to residents. So imagine being, you know, born and raised in Dearborn, Michigan, especially if you're like a 60-year-old person and you've seen your city go from, you know, a wonderful like symbol of Americanism to literally being occupied by foreigners who don't speak your language and tell you you don't belong there when you object to a street being named after a literal Muslim terrorist. It's just a straight up takeover. And I just can't express how outrageous I find this all. It's utterly and completely outrageous and absurd. And they're really pushing. They're really testing the bounds of American temperance. And I think that's a irresponsible thing for them to do, let's just say. And I think it'd be perfectly valid for Trump to make some extraordinary measures to reclaim this portion of our sovereign territory that is currently being occupied by hostile foreigners. I think that's a perfectly valid way to see what's going on there, since clearly that's how they see it. AK-47's online chats and Pumpkin Day reference led FBI to avert potential ISIS-inspired terrorist attack. And yeah, we might not have the suspects' names, although I believe we do have some suspects' names are out already. I know because I remember skipping over them because I wasn't able to pronounce them correctly. Yeah, it was an ISIS-inspired attack. This was not the right-wing white supremacist terror that we've heard so much about. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is calling out horrific mass slaughter of Christians taking place in Nigeria by radical Islamists. He then announced that the U.S., quote, cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening. And it truly is horrific. In fact, I don't think I brought in the video, but there are videos of this where you can see the, you know, Muslim executioners smiling and laughing and having a great time while behind him an entire village burns littered with bodies. Here's what Trump said on Truth Social earlier today. Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria. Thousands of Christians are being killed. Radical Islamists are responsible for this mass slaughter. I'm hereby making Nigeria a, quote, country of particular concern. But that is the least of it. When Christians or any such group is slaughtered, like is happening in Nigeria, 3,100 versus 4,476 worldwide, something must be done. I'm asking Congressman Riley Moore, together with Chairman Tom Cole and the House Appropriations Committee, to immediately look into this matter and report back to me. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. Which I fully endorse that last sentence, and something that we should have been doing a long time before this. And I have to wonder how much this has to do with Israel. Because if you're talking about protecting Christian populations around the world, one Christian population that is under direct threat would be the Christian population in the West Bank and Gaza, who've had their churches bombed, their holy sites destroyed, and are currently being ethnically cleansed from a huge part of the West Bank, which is in direct violation of Trump's recent demand that the West Bank not be annexed into Israel. In fact, I believe we do have a video of this. Clip 32, Israeli settlers are burning down the Christian town of Tebe, which has an entirely Christian population. So again, when you oppose Israel's actions, you often are accused of being in bed with the Muslims. you're a Qatari agent or you are some sort of Islamo-fascist that just hates Israel because you hate Western civilization, the reality is that there are a lot of Christians being attacked by Israel, and they, in the Israeli government and the settlers themselves, see absolutely no distinction between Palestinian Christians and Palestinian Muslims. To them, they're all Palestinians, inhuman and unworthy of consideration. So they're being killed, ethnically cleansed, and beaten if they resist. So let's go to clip 32 here, and we'll see the Israeli settlers and the fires that they're lighting in this entirely Christian town in the West Bank. So you see the fires of the olive groves and the villages there. This, of course, is just the latest. I really could be bringing you an update every single day as these attacks continue. And maybe we should be protecting them. Maybe we as Christians have a responsibility to protect them, just like I think we have a obligation to object and intervene with what's going on in Nigeria. You guys bring up that. I want to read that headline. I didn't have a chance to read that. The Sudanese butcher. That is the guy I'm talking about. That's the guy I saw the video of. Smiling, laughing, holding a machete as bodies burn around him. The TikTok-loving Sudanese butcher of the century warlord who boasted of slaughtering 2,000 people after horrific footage showed him coldly executing men one by one. Ah, TikTok. The TikTok warlord. Well, it shouldn't be hard to find him, should it? We have a lot more to cover here on the other side. We're going to get into something I know Alex touched on a little bit, which was the statement from the Heritage Foundation. And it continues the coverage that we spent most of the show on yesterday, the great divide being forced by the Zionist right as they demand that we kick out and ostracize a sizable portion of the Republican base because they aren't sufficiently suicidally dedicated to Israel. And there's been sort of a flip-flop with the Heritage Foundation that I'm having trouble putting my finger on exactly what their stance is. What happened is you have this massive push to demonize Tucker Carlson and kick him out of, you know, conservative spaces. Then people noticed that his information was removed from the Heritage Foundation website. People said, okay, Heritage Foundation is occupied. They're being controlled. They're, you know, being weaponized against Tucker Carlson. Then they came out and made a video saying, no, that's not what's happening. We firmly stand by Tucker Carlson and we refuse to comply with the hate mob. And somebody was, well, everybody I follow was extremely happy and celebratory about the video statement. We'll show you it on the other side after a short commercial break. But then today they came out with another statement, kind of walking back that video in a weird way. And the guy, Kevin Roberts, who you're seeing on screen now, who made the video, that again, I completely agree with, and we'll watch on the other side, came out to clarify that actually Nick Fuentes is the devil, and we have to actually expel him from the party, which is an exact, undoing the exact opposite of everything he said in the video. So it's a little bit confusing, a little bit of a flip-flop, in my opinion, but we'll show you the video, and then we'll show you the very long post he made today in response to an obviously overwhelming amount of pressure that came down on him. But I got a lot of other videos to go to as well, so stay tuned. Make sure you go to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com today to get yourself some tricks and some treats for this Halloween celebration. Thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And right now, there is a massive sale that's just kicking off and will continue all month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales. Right now, everything on the store is 25% off. That sale is going to end, and we don't even know when. Spooktacular sale, thealexjonesstore.com.
Therapists in the U.S. say they are seeing increasing numbers of patients with what they call Donald Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Trump derangement syndrome is clinically real.
It doesn't merely affect individuals, but entire political parties, rendering them unrecognizable.
1 minute, they're perfectly normal. The next, rabid.
The veneer of civilization is evaporating quickly. Families and culture are collapsing. And godless leftists are behaving just like zombies of modern lore.
You can't trust your mother.
Get the hell out of here!
Get the fuck out of here!
Your best friend.
Get that camera out of my face!
The neighbor next door.
Psychologist Dr. Stuart Bassman says for his clients, it started the morning after the election.
Doctors are seeing patients suffering from Trump anxiety disorder.
A number of people are manifesting what I would call post-traumatic stress disorder.
An overpowering fear that President Trump represents the end of the world.
Pray it doesn't happen to you.
Land of the dead!
Revit.
White males.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, he loves help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give him, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop so people can get – you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We'll go to the video I was talking about in the last segment, clip number 4 here. Is getting to lay out the pattern of events. You had Tucker Carlson interview Nick Fuentes, and you had a highly coordinated and deeply annoying campaign to demonize Tucker over this, to expel Tucker Carlson, a heinous anti-Semite Tucker Carlson from the MAGA movement over his platforming of this heinous yet deeply popular individual, Nick Fuentes, and just a huge, you know, whole of the world operation against Tucker Carlson. And people noticed that the Heritage Foundation removed Tucker Carlson from their website. So people were mad at them and said, what the hell? You're succumbing to this just woke pressure campaign, which is what it is entirely. Just the exact same tactics that the left uses, but this time on the right and applying to the right. And so Heritage came out and made a video saying, no, we have not distanced ourselves from Tucker, and we will not be complying with the demands of this hateful mob, I believe he calls them. We'll listen to it right now. So after that video came out, people got even more angry, and it was the only thing on Twitter after the show yesterday. Nothing but Heritage Foundation responses and people basically threatening to destroy the Heritage Foundation, withdraw support for refusing to condemn Tucker Carlson. Again, all of this trouble, all of this chaos, all of this division coming squarely from One Direction, and it ain't the Groypers, folks. It ain't Tucker Carlson causing all this trouble. It's the Zionist pressure on the right that is now finding, you know, the funding it's been doing of conservative organizations a very useful leverage tool to wield in the drive to expel anybody who even dares to question Israel's government out of the party. So let's go to this video from yesterday. This is Kevin Roberts of the Heritage Foundation explaining that they're not going to bend to the will of a hate mob demanding that they separate from one of their most popular and prolific contributors. Let's watch.
I'll have more to say on this in the coming days, but today I want to be clear about one thing. Christians can critique the state of Israel without being anti-Semitic. And of course, anti-Semitism should be condemned. My loyalty as a Christian and as an American is to Christ first and to America always. When it serves the interests of the United States to cooperate with Israel and other allies, we should do so, with partnerships on security, intelligence, and technology. But when it doesn't, conservatives should feel no obligation to reflexively support any foreign government, no matter how loud the pressure becomes from the globalist class or from their mouthpieces in Washington. The Heritage Foundation didn't become the intellectual backbone of the conservative movement by canceling our own people or policing the consciences of Christians. And we won't start doing that now. We don't take direction from comments on X, though we are grateful for the robust free speech debate. We also don't take direction from members or donors, though we are inherently grateful for their support. And we're adding more every day. This is the robust debate we invite with our colleagues, our movement friends, our members, and the American public. We will always defend truth. We will always defend America, and we will always defend our friends against the slander of bad actors who serve someone else's agenda. That includes Tucker Carlson, who remains, and as I have said before, always will be a close friend of the Heritage Foundation. The venomous coalition attacking him are sowing division. Their attempt to cancel him will fail. Most importantly, the American people expect us to be focusing on our political adversaries on the left, not attacking our friends on the right. I disagree with, and even abhor, things that Nick Fuentes says. But canceling him is not the answer either. When we disagree with a person's thoughts and opinions, we challenge those ideas in debate. And we have seen success in this approach as we continue to dismantle the vile ideas of the left. As my friend Vice President Vance said last night, what I am not okay with is any country coming before the interests of American citizens, and it is important for all of us, assuming we are American citizens, to put the interest of our own country first. That's where our allegiance lies, and that's where it will stay.
Now, it may surprise you to know that that statement, that I think most people would agree with 90% of it, totally unobjectionable, that statement was treated like a nuclear bomb on X. As a response to that, I mean, people were flipping out about what he said, even though everything he said was just 100% like verbatim foundational principles and conservative policy. I mean, this is what differentiates us from the left, the willingness to talk, the willingness to entertain ideas, even those abhorred by the elites that rule our country. Nothing objectionable about that, as far as I can tell. I don't agree with all of it. He says he abhors Nick Fuentes' stances. I don't agree with that, but I also don't have to. What's the big deal? And so in response to that, Nick Fuentes commented on that video saying, I'm not sure what views you abhor about me. And so today, Kevin Roberts, that guy that just said all of those exactly correct things, I really don't understand the flip-flopping. I don't understand the back and forth, because in that video, He calls the people trying to get them to oust Tucker Carlson. He says they're the ones, you know, causing the division. He calls them globalist mouthpieces in Washington, you know, the globalist controllers or whatever he calls them. He calls them a venomous coalition. He's like, okay, there's this venomous coalition of globalist mouthpieces that want us to, you know, destroy Tucker Carlson because he criticizes the state of Israel, which is all correct. And then he comes back today to basically write an entire essay about how Nick Fuentes is evil and needs to be condemned. So I think I have a pretty clear vision of what happened here. Okay, I'll read his statement and try to discern what the behind-the-scenes goings-on were, but I think it's fairly apparent. You know, the meme is, you know, you got the call. He got the call. And let me tell you, folks, the call is absolutely real. And it ain't just one call. It's usually you got the calls. You got the dozens and dozens of calls and text messages and DMs and public posts on X demanding that you clarify that while you're not separating from Tucker Carlson, you do denounce Nick Fuentes. And it's very real. I know because I've gone to shows and people get the call about me going on the show. When I did the debate with Misfit Patriot on Alex Stein's show, both of them were talking about receiving calls telling them not to do it. No one ever calls me. I don't know why. No one ever tries to tell me not to do something. They did once. Actually, Gabe Hoffman tried once, but that didn't work because I had Alex Jones on my side. I think I've told that story, right? You've never heard it? All right, the crew's never heard it. So a long time ago, I think I was like, I must have been hosting for Owen at some point on the War Room, you know, probably 2 years before American Journal even started. And I invited on Revenge of the Sis, which is great guys over on Rumble. And I got a call or a text or something from Gabe Hoffman, who's this hedge fund manager. He did Open Secrets, the documentary. Man, I think this is all this, the right guy. I don't want to be defaming somebody. But I got the call that was like, you know, Alex, you know, your boss has enough on his plate. You really don't want the trouble that comes along with having these guys on. You know, I'm looking out for you. And I think for your sake and the sake of, you know, your boss not being mad at you, you know, you probably shouldn't cause trouble for him by having these guys on. And it kind of freaked me out because I was like, oh, geez, I don't want to cause trouble for Alex. Like, I don't want Alex getting a bunch of calls from people being like, your host is having anti-Semitic people on. So I go up to Alex and I'm like, hey, Alex, you know, I got these guys. And Alex is like eating food in the break room. He's just like, what? Who? I don't care. Have on whoever you want. He's like, what? Why are you telling me this? I'm going up to him like, hey, Alex, look, there's this guy and he's telling me that there's maybe. And Alex is just like, what? What are you talking about? Have whoever you want on. Gabe who? What? And I was like, oh, okay. And I was really nervous for a second. Then I ask Alex and he's just like, what? Go have on whoever you want. Like, don't ask me, basically. And it was great. So like, you know, that's how you defeat the call. You defeat the call by ignoring the call. You defeat the call by they make demands of you and you say, oh, okay. And then you just do what you were going to do anyway. And then nothing happens because they don't actually have power over us. That's the truth with InfoWars. I don't know about people that rely on donations like the Heritage Foundation, but the call is real. The call will come in. They'll use all these pressure tactics. I mean, we saw it with the Charlie Kirk text message reveals. I mean, this is the way this stuff works. And so I'll read this statement. Maybe I should lay it out first. Because what happened, I believe, is that this guy is probably not super familiar with Nick Fuentes. He's probably seen clips of him like everybody has. And he's probably watched some of them and thought, okay, some of them are funny, some of them are, you know, a little too far, but whatever. And then he gets call after call after call from people going, you don't realize how dangerous this kid is. Do you know what he says? And the guy's probably like, no, what, you know, shoot, like, who did I defend? Even though he said he abhors Nick Fuentes' views, he still was like, but, you know, he's got to let the guy talk and we can confront these views and talk about him. And he got calls from people going, no, you don't understand. You don't understand how dangerous this guy is. You don't understand what you're doing by merely, you know, softly denouncing him. You've in fact, you know, told people that he's somebody they should have on. You need to fix this. And then they sent him videos And that's what I think happened. I think they sent him out of context clips, probably a dozen of them, probably the worst things Nick has ever said, probably most of them in jest, but cut out of context, and sent it to this guy going, this is the kid that you're saying, you know, should be platformed. This is the kid. Because when I read the statement, you'll see he quotes Nick a few times, but every single time it's out of context. Every single time the thing Nick is saying is clearly a joke. And you'll see. I'll read them to you. But I think that's what happened. I think he had a pressure campaign and people sent him a whole bunch of clips of Nick, the most abhorrent things he's ever said in jest or otherwise, and convinced him that, like, no, you know, Nick just goes on and basically just rails against the Jews in a violent and outrageous way every day. It's not really the case. Here's the statement. I'll read it to you and we can dissect it. Kevin Roberts, Texas, on X says, yesterday I said that I abhorred views expressed by Nick Fuentes, and that was the best way to fight anti-Semitic ideas was to challenge them head on. Fuentes replied on X by saying, I don't know what exactly you abhor about my views. Allow me to elaborate because there's plenty to condemn. First, he says, the Heritage Foundation and I denounce and stand against his vicious anti-Semitic ideology, his Holocaust denial, and his relentless conspiracy theories that echo the darkest chapters of history. We are disgusted by his musings about rape, women, child marriage, and abusing his potential wife. The whole crew's laughing. Because everybody knows it's a joke. Everybody knows it's a joke. Like, this is the problem, y'all. Half of what Nick Fuentes says is ironic, exaggerated, little over and above what he actually believes. But I do the same thing, maybe not to the same level. I guarantee you could find things from this week that I've said that sound abhorrent. If you watch it in context, you know that my beliefs are to love everybody and, you know, peace and prosperity and all this wonderful stuff. But you're doing a show for a couple hours a day, no teleprompter. You're going to, you know, try to make points that maybe don't come across exactly right. But, like, do they really think Nick Fuentes is talking about beating his potential wife? Like, who do these people think that they're dealing with? It's so weird. It's kind of the same thing with Tucker Carlson, where they're like, he's anti-Western. He's anti-Western society, Western civilization. It's just like, what? Just what does that even mean? What are you even talking about? Just no, he makes jokes. He's edgy, whatever. But they take that out of context and then, you know, put just the sentence in and it makes it sound bad. No, he's not actually in favor of rape or abusing your wife. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Fuentes made grotesque analogies to try to cast doubt on the murder of 6 million Jews during the Holocaust and said, quote, I think the Holocaust is exaggerated. I don't hate Hitler. Well, how dare you? You have to hate, sir. Remember, that was the point Kanye was making in the interview with Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes. Going, you can't tell me who to hate. I love everybody. I love Stalin. I love Hitler. I love Jews. I love non-Jews. I love everybody. You can't tell me who to hate. And you can't be mad at me for not hating somebody that you want me to hate. It's actually like one of the most clear expressions of literal, you know, unbounded love that anybody's ever said. Because you're supposed to hate Hitler. You're really supposed to hate Hitler. But as a Christian, you're not supposed to hate anybody. You can hate the things he did. You can hate the pain he caused or the suffering and the devastation that he wrought on all of Europe. But you're supposed to have grace and mercy for the human in hopes that they could save their soul. Of course, it's too late for Hitler, but you're still not supposed to hate him. Saying the Holocaust is exaggerated, I mean, they've revised the number down like 3 times. There's no soap made out of Jewish bodies, no lampshades. Like, that stuff those are exaggerations. People still believe wholeheartedly. A lot has been exaggerated about the Holocaust. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. But you should be allowed to question it. You should be allowed to say it's exaggerated. You should be allowed to say that it wields an inordinate influence on the modern world. It's become, in a lot of ways, a new state religion. I don't think that's an exaggeration. So why shouldn't you be allowed to question that? Fuentes called for the death penalty for, quote, perfidious Jews and other non-Christians, stating, quote, when we take power, they all need to be given the death penalty. Again, do we think there's any context around this? Or do you think it was just, Hey, what's up, everybody? This is America First with Nick Fuentes. We've got a great show for you tonight. Perfidious Jews should be killed, and all non-Christians should be killed. More on that later. First, we're going to talk, come on. Clearly, this is out of context. I don't even know the context of this. Do you really think he says all non-Christians should be killed? Do you really think that's a position that he genuinely holds? Do you really think Alex Jones thinks he's the Joker? Again, all this is hilarious and ridiculous, and it's stuff like this. Fuentes stated that his goal is, quote, total Aryan victory, and claimed that, quote, black people should be in prison for the most part. But this is just a sampling of his vile daily rhetoric. Yeah, it is a sampling. It's a very particular sampling of clearly exaggerated, hyperbolic, out-of-context statements that you've cherry-picked to persuade the ignorant. It's unfortunate that you've been pressured to do this and that you're giving into it, because all you're doing is exactly what you claimed you weren't doing yesterday, is allowing the lies and misrepresentations of a perfidious cabal of globalist mouthpieces, a coalition of the venomous. Yeah, that's who is promoting the idea that Nick Fuentes is a literal Nazi who wants total Aryan victory. The dude's not Aryan. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He wants total Aryan victory, but he's a Hispanic, half Hispanic guy. Okay, great. He's half Hispanic, half Italian, but he's actually a dyed-in-the-wool, German socialist Aryan. Sure. And it's this next sentence, really. We don't need to go through all of it, but this is just such a weak and gay statement is all I really have to say. And it's just like, what do you not understand about how these operations work? What do you not understand about the divide and conquer tactic being deployed right now? Do you think it stops with Nick Fuentes? Do you think if we all denounce Nick Fuentes, everything calms down, everything goes back to normal? Or do you think the next person who's just below, or do you think it's Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones next? Do you think, you don't give them an inch because they'll take it a mile. We all should have learned this lesson 10 years ago. Why are we still having to teach it? And the ultimate understanding of this, the ultimate way to break free, I'm about to give you the real truth here, folks, because here's the sentence that explains all of this. He says, racism and anti-Semitism are not relics of the past. They have blossomed on the left on university campuses and grown on the right through figures like Fuentes. Racism and anti-Semitism, folks, here's the headline, don't exist. They don't exist. They're made up words that describe nothing. That's it. That's the answer. That's the solution, is understanding that these are words who only have the power that you give to them. Racism was not a word until like 100 years ago, when it was designed and created specifically to demonize the natural proclivity of every human being for all of time. The way to think of this when it comes to racism is, what if somebody invents a word called familyism and you're a familyist? And if you prioritize or care more about your family than other families, that's despicable. That's hateful. And you're a bad person for liking your family. Essentially the same thing. I mean, race is just, an extension of the family. It's an extended family. It's all people who are related to one another. I'm frankly kind of shocked that the name took off in the first place. Shows you the, power of propaganda. Racism, a condition of being that every single human being expressed for all of time forever. Just like having a family. You have a group of people that's your group of people, your tribe, your clan, your race, and they're yours. And it's, you're one of them and they are of you. And it is all one thing. And everything you do reflects on them, and everything you do either hurts or benefits or, harms them. Just like a family. And then somebody comes along and says, actually, to prioritize or to even notice differences between races is racist. So if I say, hey, my neighbors, the Browns, they're all incredible athletes, all the Browns are great athletes. Mom's a great athlete. Dad's a great athlete. All the kids are great athletes. Their cousins come over. They're all incredible. Oh, how familyist of you. How dare you? You're saying there couldn't be a Brown that's not athletic? It's like, well, what are you talking about? You just notice groups of people. You are in a group of people, and you have considerations about that group. Racism doesn't exist. Let me say it again. Racism doesn't exist. It's not a thing. It's not real. Same thing with anti-Semitism. Why do you think it's called anti-Semitism? Why would they choose that weird combination of syllables? If it was about hating Jewish people, wouldn't it just be called anti-Jewishness? Wouldn't it be called anti-Judaism? Why Semitism? Make it sound racial? So is it a religion or a race? If you're trying to make it racial and you're saying anti-Semitic, being Shem, then shouldn't it apply to mostly Muslims from the Middle East? Aren't they descendants of Shem? No, it does. It's a word that doesn't mean anything. All it means, all it is something to be deployed to silence people. It's a tool. It's a weapon of censorship. And that's all. It's hard to explain because it's just like we give so much power to these words. We give so much power to these symbols. They're just vibrations. They're just words. They don't mean anything. And when they can be applied to everything, they really don't mean anything. When you say it's anti-Semitic for me to dislike Israel, you know, killing a dozen children for no reason, then what is anti-Semitism? What does it even mean? It doesn't mean anything. So even complying to the concept that these things exist and matter and should be discussed is all a distraction from the actual substance of the arguments. If Nick Fuentes makes sincere points, not saying total Aryan victory, not saying I can't wait to get married so I can beat my wife, like, okay, taking out the edgy jokes, when you look at his actual response to or the claims that he's making, the responses that he has to statements or policies, is there, they don't want you talking about it. The point is they don't want you talking about those things. Instead, what they want to say is, we're not even going to talk about the arguments you're making because we've declared all of them anti-Semitic. So now we have to debate anti-Semitism. Now we have to debate this concept we made up of the Jews versus the world. And you have to be on the side of the Jews or else you're evil. And it's like, this is stupid. Can we talk about Mark Levin? Can we talk about Israeli pressure on the American government? Or is all of that anti-Semitic? Don't fall for this, man. Just break free. Ignore this crap.
Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus. It is so amazing. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. And just like you said, Alex, we have suppliers that we work with, manufacturers that we work with in Florida, Utah, Arizona, and other places. We reached out to all of them and we asked them for a formula that would super enhance the effects of Methylene Blue, but also work as a standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement.
Batman, the Bat Computer's picked up a transmission from Alex Jones, and he's holding some kind of red serum.
Indeed, that appears to be Ultra Methylene Red, a powerful supplement, perhaps too powerful if it were to fall into criminal hands.
Holy neurotransmitters, Batman. What if the Riddler gets a hold of it? He could outthink us for once.
Precisely why we must act swiftly, old chum.
to the Batmobile.
There he is, Batman. What's red, bottled, and drives your brain batty with brilliance? Ultra Methylene Red, of course.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour is on. This spooky edition of the War Room. I just tried to lay out a few arguments as to why things like racism and anti-Semitism don't exist and aren't worthy of a response. I think I want to illustrate that now by going sort of the end result of what these words bring about, what these bizarre and inhuman concepts take us to. Let's go to clip 11 here. This is, believe it or not, the head of the Canadian military. This is the head of the Canadian military getting choked up and almost crying because of supposed racism in the past. This is you, Heritage Foundation guy. This is what you look like to us. Let's watch.
Systemic racism, racial discrimination, and harassment are an affront to these values, and yet we allowed these injustices to occur and fester within our ranks. Therefore, on behalf of the Canadian Armed Forces, I offer my most sincere and deepest apologies. I apologize to every CAF member, veteran who experienced racism, discrimination, and harassment. And I acknowledge we failed you.
I'm so sorry. It's like, imagine, like, you know, the opening scene of Patton, General Patton in front of that big American flag going, I'm just so sorry. I'm just so sorry that we treated you so badly. Shut up, lady. It's pathetic. There's just something so utterly pathetic about all of this. When you especially when you consider the fact that Canada, of all places, but America as well, the least racist places in the entire world. Canada and America are, you know, beacons of equality or in acceptance, even when compared to a place like Europe, where they still, you know, hang on to sort of some old world predilections. She's going to sit there and cry about the racism, the abuse people have felt. Doesn't exist. It's not real. Can you imagine General George S. Patton ever apologizing for the perceived racism against people who didn't even really exist? Like, how many minorities were there even in the Canadian Army back when racism was still a thing? I feel like it's just not even necessary or useful to argue the points of this. Try to argue about the reality of whether racism existed or not. It's just, this is all hogwash. It's all deception. It's all illusion. Why would we be apologizing for it? You know, it's kind of like, what is this? Our task is to confront those poisonous ideas at every turn to prevent them from taking America to a very dark place. Join us not to cancel, but to guide, challenge, and strengthen the conversation, and be confident that our best ideas at the heart of Western civilization will prevail. Well, the problem is, what's happening is that they are. And there's a lot of people trying to stop that, and you're now helping them. Problem is that when your ideas are subjected to an open marketplace, we come out on top. That's the whole problem. That's the whole issue. So when you contribute to this by co-signing claims of anti-Semitism or racism, all you're doing is putting powder in the magazine of your enemy. Reject it outright, reject it completely, and let the chips fall where they may. Now, if this was done because of a funding push, because donors were going to withdraw funds over it, you should expose them and say that's why. Oh, and by the way, they're not even remotely happy about this.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
With your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, folks, we're going to move on. I'll just do one more note on the Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes, Heritage Foundation scandal, the drama over all this right now. And that is to say that you need to calm down. Everybody needs to just calm the hell down, all right? It's not a big deal. It's just not. Nick Fuentes talking to Tucker Carlson. It's fine. It's fine. They talked. Video went out. Nobody died. We're all fine. We're all fine. It's all good, right? Why is it that this single conversation, which nobody can really find anything objectionable even to point to, except that Nick said he admires Stalin, which he's clearly talking about in a you know, political way, admired how he took Russia from a backwater, you know, country of peasants to a nuclear power in like 15 years. Say what you want. It's an impressive feat. And that's it, pretty much. He admires a historical figure that we were allied with in World War II. And I guess maybe he said he doesn't hate Hitler. I don't even know if that came up in the debate. So there's a conversation between prominent conservative influencers where they lay out, and with perfect clarity and, as far as I can tell, sincerity, why they have the beliefs that they have, where it comes from, what they think, you know, the solution to some of the world's problems are. And this is being treated like literally the beginning of a new Holocaust. And like, do people not understand how that is in many ways like a self-fulfilling process? Where like, this is not a big deal. This is really not that big of a deal at all. Okay. Why are people treating it? I saw a post. I'll bring some posts up. I have a video, but I can try to find some posts in the meantime of people just being like, this is it. This is it. To my fellow Jews, time to arm yourself. Arm yourself and find safe houses. And it's like, guys, what are you talking about? We are in America in the year 2025. Literally the only thing that's happening is people want Israel to stop killing children. That's it. It's literally it. And every time the response to that is to claim that you must hate Jews and should therefore be silenced, what do you think is going to happen? People go, oh, I didn't realize it made me anti-Semitic. Kill the children. Sorry, my new stance is kill the children, so I don't want to be perceived as hateful. It's like, what do you think is going to happen when the reaction is like this? Just chill. Like, we are in such a crazy feedback loop. And the reason it's crazy is because it's so easy to intercede. It's so easy to stop this process. Just stop demanding that we kick Tucker Carlson out of the party. Just stop. Stop acting like this is a life or death situation. This is just, it's, again, just complete. It's just completely insane. And just my message to all the people out there that are spending all day, every day, working themselves up into a frenzy over this, just chill. Just chill. Just relax. Everything's fine. Israel ain't going anywhere. American support for Israel ain't going anywhere anytime soon. And the way to make sure that it does go away is to have no introspection, to have no, you know, question about what has brought this state about, but to believe wholeheartedly that this is a characteristic of the European DNA, like Josh Hammer says, that anti-Semitism just exists, will always exist, and it does not matter what you do. I've explained this so many times. They have to have you believe that so they can keep doing what they're doing. If you believe that anti-Semitism is something inborn, it's some taint of the European DNA, it's some disease that we all have, just, you know, symptoms might not be expressing themselves quite yet. If that's what you believe, then you're never going to look for the cause. You're never going to look for the process that got people to this point, and you're going to just make the same mistakes over and over. And I'm so genuine in this. Like, why aren't you listening to us? We keep being right. What were we saying in like November of 2023 when the bombing campaign first really got going and there were the first just horrifying and breathtaking videos of just the massacres, the dismembered children, the hospitals being bombed? Us anti-Israel, so-called anti-Israel, anti-Semitic people, what were we saying? We're going, yeah, this is not a good look for Israel. If this goes on, nobody's going to like it, and they're going to lose a lot of support, and it's going to make things a lot harder for them. If they think that conquering Gaza will be such a benefit for them, they should really be weighing that against the perception of the world that they're going to create of themselves if they continue like this. And then they just keep going, and look where we are now. Lowest approval rating, lowest, you know, Israel support of all time across the entire world. An actual existential crisis now for Israel, as the EU cuts them off and Netanyahu can't even go to half the countries in Europe because he'll be arrested. Why weren't you listening to us? And what have you achieved? You killed 100,000 children and women, and Hamas is still powerful and in control of Gaza, and you got the hostages back, but a lot of them were killed in the meantime, and you could have just done that, you know, in October of 2023 anyway, when they wanted to negotiate. So what have you achieved with all of this? You've achieved nothing but guaranteeing an infinitely more difficult future for yourselves because of all of the opposition you've now inspired. Well, why did you persist in doing that? Why did you persist in taking any criticism, even constructive criticism, as an attack on Jews as a whole that must be silenced? It's ridiculous. So I'm telling you again, you've got to stop. We're telling Israel in November of 2023, y'all shouldn't do this. This isn't a good idea. They keep doing it. It's terrible. Everything's terrible. They try to get us into war with Iran. Thank God we avoided that. But even as far as they went with Donald Trump doing the bombing campaign, that's like a quarter of his support gone. Like, you know, a quarter of the people I know that followed Trump and were willing to, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt. The moment he bombs Iran, it's like, well, he's controlled by Israel. Screw this guy. Screw them. Like, I'm telling you right now, you are again engaged in this ridiculous smear job. This is Avi Yemeni in response to the Heritage post. Nice attempt at cleanup. It's easy to take shots at Fuentes. Let's see you apply that same energy to Tucker, who platformed him without a single challenge. Like, dude, shut up, Avi. Shut up right now. For your own good, shut up. Jesus. I mean, these people, man. Not good enough. Condemn Tucker too. And it's just like, y'all, you've got to stop. You have to stop. And it's just crazy because it's just like, I don't even know, man. It's just a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's just all self-fulfilling. And you're just making demands that people can't meet and don't want to meet. And even when the Heritage Foundation guy comes out and writes an entire essay denouncing Nick Fuentes, the response is, yeah, okay, but what about Tucker? And it's like, y'all need to chill. You just need to chill, honestly. You got two options. Continue down the road where you keep making demands, you keep getting pissed off, you keep pissing everybody else off, you ratchet up the temperature over and over and over and over again until it all explodes, and then, oh, look, you're proven right, right? Oh, look, you keep telling us, everybody, that everybody hates you and that this is a big issue and this is the beginning of the second Holocaust, and it's like, we're just telling you to chill. Just chill. Just stop. You keep pushing, you keep pushing, and eventually you're going to prove yourself right. Congratulations. Idiots. Stop. The hell is wrong with you? Let's go to this video. This is in response to the Heritage thing and the Tucker thing. Clip 26 here. Apparently, because Tucker Carlson interviewed Nick Fuentes, they talked for a few hours. Now American Jews are setting up escape routes to Israel. Okay. Why don't you just chill instead? Let's watch clip 26 here.
You know, we were talking before about when is time? When is time to run away? When do you understand that there's no future in a place where you can see things happening? You know, before the World War II, before the Holocaust,
yeah,
there were signs everywhere. And this does seem like a little bit of a sign. It's a worrying sign, yep, but we still are choosing to stay and fight.
You know, my rabbi, who I love, Rabbi Goldschmidt, said that we are a 3,300-year-old people. Why are we scared of a 33-year-old politician? And I think that there is some truth to that, but I'm not sure that I completely agree with it because, yes, of course, the Jewish people are eternal, but this is going to get ugly. And it's not just about Zoram Namdani becoming mayor. It's about the consequences that will take place in the rest of the country. Because, you know, when New York City sneezes, the rest of the country catches a cold. It's really the epicenter of all things,
yeah,
in America.
Yeah.
And so,
and
what
it's
this
the biggest,
says,
largest group of Jewish people living in New York, right?
Outside of Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what this says to the rest of the country is that an inexperienced left-wing radical socialist is now a kosher candidate.
Yeah.
And it's going to you will see a ripple effect throughout the rest, yeah, of the country. And it's just like with anti-Semitism, you know, we become so desensitized to statements like Free Palestine, statements like globalize the Intifada. What else are we going to become desensitized to before we wake up and we're like, oh, maybe it's time to start protecting ourselves either with self-defense measures or maybe it's time to yalla aliyah, you,
yeah,
know? I don't know how much more time we have to be safe. And I'm going to stay and fight for right now. I'm not going anywhere. I think, you know, we have an obligation. I'm not ready to throw in the towel, but, we're going to have to be vigilant. And I, you know, 10 years, it could be less, but the way things are going, I'm not so sure that America is going to be a safe place for Jews.
Yeah, you need to chill, lady. You need to chill. You honestly need to chill. Cruz McConnell slam Heritage President's defense of Tucker Carlson. You know, and the thing is about this is that the divide is, as you know, we pointed out many times, they want to talk about the woke right, they want to talk whatever. The reality is there's the America First side and there's the Zionist right side. That's the division. That's it. Now, the American right side is, or the American First nationalist side, it's not pro-Israel, typically anti-Israel. But that's not the reason they're America First, right? It's not, they don't define themselves by Israel and their support or hate of Israel. It's just that not supporting Israel is just part and parcel with every other nationalistic policy to have. I feel the same way about Israel as I do about any other country. And I don't like when they kill 100,000 children for no reason. I'm not defined by my stance on Israel. It's just my stance on Israel is informed by all the other America First stances I hold. The Zionist right, on the other hand, they have one concern. They have one issue. They have one thing that overrides all of their other considerations, and that is the foreign state of Israel and absolute, abject, and unquestioning support for that state of Israel. Again, Tucker Carlson still sings the praises of Israel every chance he gets. He just doesn't like the choices of Benjamin Netanyahu and the people in charge of it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He has to be destroyed. So, I mean, I know I'm not going to be listened to. I know it's like, you know, physically impossible for this to be the case. But honestly, you should just chill. You can just relax. You can just not keep up with the attempts to pressure and silence people and you know, censor people. Like, just stop. You can just stop at any point and you'll be fine. But or you can move to Israel. So that's fine, too, I guess. I guess maybe now is the time. Make Aliyah to Israel. We're so close to pogroms, obviously. Anyway, it's just exhausting and annoying to have to go through this over and over forever, endlessly. And the reality is, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, people have looked at some things like in Florida. In Florida, there is like a specific fund for security for Jewish organizations. And it's like $17 million. It's some huge amount of money. It's like twice as much money as the rest of the state's budget of like civic interaction. I'll find the exact charts, but it's like, it's sort of a good example. Okay. Right now, you're about 1,000 times more likely to be attacked in a church. We've seen a hell of a lot more attacks on churches, Catholic schools, religious institutions of a Christian bent than Jewish. Not to say there haven't been attacks on Jewish. There's people killed in D.C. Those aides or staffers that were murdered by a Palestinian, that was brutal. There's the Tree of Life synagogue shooting. That was bad. No, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. But I'm saying if you go to church, you're more likely to be a victim of a random mass shooting. I don't think churches get any funding from the government. But, you know, like every Jewish school, every synagogue has round-the-clock armed guards, massive security measures, all paid for by the state. And so it's like, okay, are you really under that big of a threat that you need to exist in this walled off, you know, excluded area of our country, that you get, you know, security grants by the millions of dollars to maintain your security? Is it that big of a threat? Or is doing that only going to piss people off because we see our tax dollars going to pay for one particular group's security and comfort to the detriment of the rest of us? Is it really worth it? It's just a feedback loop that just goes on and on. And again, it's not that why then when Tucker Carlson allows Nick Fuentes to lie without pushback, are we not allowed to be equally as critical? Great job. What's the guy's name? Kevin? Great job, Kevin. You've apologized, you've debased yourself, you've genuflected in front of the angry mob. And lo and behold, they're not satisfied. Oh, my gosh. Who would have thought? Who could have possibly thought they would have wanted more? But all that to say that you actually do have very intense oppression against Christians in this country that goes totally unaddressed, uncared for, unrectified. Let's go to clip 34. This isn't in this country. This is in Canada, but obviously it's just an extenuation of what's happening in Europe and what will soon arrive here. This is a guy making the case that portions of the Bible are hateful and should therefore be banned. Portions of the Bible should not be allowed to be read out loud. Let's go to clip 34 here.
Just use the chair's prerogative for 2 seconds to ask a follow-up question to Mr. Ross. It's despicable and is unlawful. I believe the statements made by Mr. Shirakawi were and would be if they were stated again. We don't know why the prosecution chose not to continue with the charges. And perhaps it is to Mr. Fortin's point. I just want to dig in a bit about the concept of good faith, Mr. Ross. In Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Romans, there's other passages, there is clear hatred towards, for example, homosexuals. I understand how the concept of good faith could be invoked if someone were literally invoking a passage from, in this case, the Bible, but there are other religious texts that say the same thing, and somehow say that this is good faith. I mean, clearly there are situations in these texts where these statements are hateful. They should not be used to invoke or be a defense, and there should perhaps be discretion for prosecutors to press charges. I just want to understand what your notion of good faith is in this context, where there are clearly passages in religious texts that are clearly hateful.
There are clearly passages in religious texts that are clearly hateful and should therefore be banned. Now let's go to clip 36 here, I believe it is, or is it 37? This is Michael Knowles talking about how the Biden administration targeted Christians over and over again. Let's watch.
What kind of a message do you think that sends when our own government is attempting to spy on people of faith and put spies into pews and churches?
With four words, Senator, the message is don't go to church. And coincidentally, I'm here today to testify about this event at the University of Pittsburgh when Antifa threw an explosive during one of my events. The FBI reached out to me afterward. They asked if I would speak, and I said no, because the story had just come out that the FBI had been infiltrating Catholic parishes under the Biden administration. We know that the DOJ had been prosecuting nuns, had been going after pro-lifers, had been going after Christians broadly, and I couldn't take that risk. A damning fact about how our government has operated and the position of Christians in the United States.
I just want to leave everybody in the room and watching this with one more picture of Mark Houck. Speaking of pro-lifers, Mark Houck is a devout Christian, believes in the right to life of every American. Here he is with his beautiful family. Our own government sent an FBI SWAT team to this man's door at 5 a.m. to arrest him with guns drawn in front of his children. He was later acquitted, I might add. They charged him with ridiculous crimes that amounted to essentially praying in front of an abortion clinic. I think it's time for our government to do some soul searching. You talk about soul searching that needs to go on. How about the fact that our own government in the last 4 years used the FBI against pro-lifers, used the FBI against Christian parents, attempted to recruit spies into Catholic churches? When our government is doing this, is it any surprise that we see deranged lunatics out there shooting people like Charlie Kirk? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So there you go. Just another smattering of just some of the oppression against Christians that the Western world is exhibiting right now. Well, meanwhile, I did find it was an article. It was actually a video by Ryan Matta, but it wasn't $17 million. It's $36 million, he writes. Did you know that over $36 million in Florida's 2024 to 2025 budget for K-12 students, so the education budget for the state of Florida, contains $36 million for combating anti-Semitism? And only $17.8 million for civic engagement. So school children in Florida will now be subject to around $17 million worth of civic engagement funding, but $36 million to make sure they aren't anti-Semitic, i.e. never question Israel or anybody else in this country who supports Israel. So Is that worth it? I don't know. I mean, when I hear $36 million to combat anti-Semitism, I don't get less anti-Semitic. We'll be right back.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. With the sea moss, because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like it's amazing. But I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Halloween edition of The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Let's talk about politics, shall we? Let's talk about some of the major goings-on in Washington, D.C. today. The fallout of the revelation of Arctic Frost and the impropriety, the abject abuse of the FBI and various law enforcement to go after Republicans continues. And a lot of other major investigations are starting, and all of this is combined. This is all one big battle going on, right? From Russiagate to the Ukraine war to the stolen election in 2020, COVID. It's like all of these things play into this one narrative strain that we've all been living, which is Donald Trump as the outsider of the system coming in, trying to reorganize the establishment to work better for the American people, and the deep state going to outrageous lengths to try to stop him, and all sort of aligned with one another. All the various scandals are aligned with one another, right? There's a reason that they didn't say Trump went to China and is a Chinese agent. There's a reason they didn't call him a agent of Brazil, right? No, it was Russia. It had to be Russia because it was in line with the propaganda push anyway, preparing us for the war with Russia that they'd intended on and were trying to provoke for a very long time. It's not a coincidence that the Bidens and the Kerrys and the Pelosis and everybody else had their fingers in Ukraine, where they were engaged in a bunch of corrupt dealing. When Donald Trump tried to look into that, they stopped him. And it all had to do with weapon shipments to Ukraine. Like, they have plans. They have major operations, many years in the making. Donald Trump was interrupting some of those. And so a lot of the actions that you saw, and we explained at the time, they were defensive actions. They should be considered defensive actions. So fast forward to 2020, they launch COVID in order to get the lockdown, in order to get the mail-in ballots, in order to rig the 2020 election, followed by January 6th, again rigged by the Democrats, refused to provide the security, and then order the Capitol Police to fire on the peaceful crowd. Then they have the January 6th hearings where they provide a bunch of completely outrageous and you know, baseless accusations and falsified evidence to convince the American people that this was the worst thing ever. I mean, all of this is part and parcel. It's all part of the same operation being carried out in just various different manifestations. And so trying to cover it is almost difficult because it's like layers of crimes happening, layers of manipulation, layers of malfeasance. Sometimes one scandal will be the excuse to get a warrant, which actually has to do with this other scandal that they're trying to cover up. Like, it gets a little confusing here. But the good news is, it appears as though finally, after long last, after a half a decade of radio silence, some of the blatant cheating in the 2020 election may actually come to light. I'll say it's never too late to do this investigation. Would have been nice to have it done at the time. We didn't even really need it done at the time. We knew it. We actually did the investigation. We saw all of it live. And, you know, just to list off the amount of impropriety and manipulation that happened in 2020 would take me all show. And I could just do it off the top of my head. And I'm sure if I researched and looked into it, there's a lot of stuff I forgot. But from the truck delivery in Pennsylvania to New York, and the guy testifying under oath that the chain of custody was broken, to the innumerable examples of bags or boxes of mail-in ballots found on the side of the road in California or wherever else. The illegal aliens signing up to vote now being purged from rolls in places like Texas and California. To the training at the Detroit facility where they were told to take the mail-in ballot even when the person said, I didn't send in a mail-in ballot, I'm here to vote in person. To the water main breaking in Georgia. To the fact that every single bizarre and inexplicable anomaly on voting night in 2025 just so happened to occur in those five main states that everybody knew were going to be the swing states, were going to be the ones that you needed to win. Like, you think anybody would be suspicious if, I don't know, Colorado had a main break and had to stop counting and then start it again? It wouldn't have really mattered. But that didn't happen in Colorado, did it? What a coincidence it happened in Georgia, a state that was necessary for Biden to win. What a coincidence that the claims of truckloads of mail-in ballots going missing happened to be in Pennsylvania. Strange how all of the Sharpie Gate and the, you know, Tina Peters and all of this stuff happened in Arizona. There were five states where these, all of these various anomalies all happened to occur, and they happened to be the five states in question that the Biden campaign desperately needed to win. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. The vote was rigged, and we all know it was rigged. And maybe the biggest piece of evidence that we have at this point is the fact that the vote totals for America went from like 160 million to 190 million in 2020 back to 160 million in 2024. For some reason, that 2020 election had tens of millions of more votes than any other election. Oh, and don't forget the line graph that jumped up for Joe Biden, just the right amount to overwhelm Trump support. I mean, the whole thing was just rigged right in front of our eyes. And the media knew predetermined ahead of time. And even that, like, we were explaining it in the run up to the election. We were going, look, guys, they're telling everybody that it's going to look like Trump's winning. And then in the middle of the night, it's going to flip to Biden. Like, they were, and that's the communication that happens at the high levels between the media. Like, they write articles for each other going, hey, guys, just be prepared for when we cheat, be prepared to know how to cover it up. Here's your argument ahead of time that we couldn't possibly know if this was a legitimate election, but somehow we know that this is going to be the case. So we're preparing the media to treat this normal, as if it's normal. That all the exit polls are going to show Trump won. All day it's going to look like Trump won. But don't say that, because probably, if I had to guess, by the next day it will have flipped to Biden. So just be prepared for that, and it's totally normal. And we expect it because, you know, mail-in ballots take longer to count. And if you question any of this, you're a terrorist, because it was the most secure election of all time. Again, the whole thing is just, well, it's in need of some major justice, and we may be getting that. DOJ demands records on unexplained anomalies in 2020 election after Fulton County did not comply with subpoena. The Department of Justice sent a letter to the Fulton County Board of Registration and Elections on Thursday demanding records related to what Georgia's Board of Elections is called, quote, unexplained anomalies in vote tabulation and storage related to the 2020 election in the county. Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights Harmeet Dillon wrote on behalf of Attorney General Pam Bondi, quote, on behalf of the Attorney General of the United States, we request that you present for inspection in its entirety and most original form all records in your possession responsive to the recent subpoena issued to your office by the State Election Board. The Civil Rights Division sends this request consistent with its ongoing obligations to ensure all citizens' voting rights have been and are protected in all elections. Title III of the Civil Rights Act of 1960 empowers the Attorney General to request preserved election records. And so just remember that, like, all of the Arctic Frost lawfare, first of all, didn't happen right after the election, didn't even happen right after January 6th, only happened once Trump announced he would be running in 2024. That's when all of the surveillance and gathering of records from MAGA occurred. But that even asking this question, it's now coming from Harmeet Dillon and Pam Bondi, that question and them asking it was considered the crime that predicated all of the spying and surveillance. Now, the real question is, and it's an obvious and rhetorical one, why wouldn't they provide the evidence? Why wouldn't they comply with the subpoena? Or put another way, why would the powers that be find it so objectionable that people questioned this process? The answer, in case you need to know it, is because they cheated. Duh. Why wouldn't you want somebody auditing your books? Probably because you're committing fraud. Why wouldn't you want somebody to look under your bed? Probably because you have something hidden there. Why don't you want Trump's people looking in to the vote of 2020? Because you rigged it. It's really very simple. And kind of an admission of guilt in a lot of ways. Because we're about to go to a video. This was a video of Sidney Powell, who herself was subjected to, like, some of the most outrageous attacks from the Biden administration over her very responsible, as far as I'm concerned, questioning of the 2020 election. Here's a video from back then, clip 17. This and this interview, statements like this, these types of appearances, this is why she was targeted by the Biden FBI. This is why she was, I believe she was arrested, wasn't she, Sidney Powell? I mean, she was destroyed over this. Go to clip 17. Now you know all of the stuff that she mentions in this clip is absolutely valid for investigation and will be investigated by the DOJ. Here's Sidney Powell all the way back then, now likely reveling in her vindication since Trump is back in office and actually looking into the innumerable examples of flagrant deception when it came to the vote count in 2020. Let's watch.
Talking about Georgia, you've actually mentioned that some of the counties didn't actually do a hand recount. Now, can you Tell me more about this.
Yes, they often ran the same ballots through the same fraudulent creating machines, which did absolutely no good whatsoever. They did not look at each ballot and compare the signatures. If we could even get 100,000 ballots of the last 100,000 ballots run in Georgia, for example, we could show by instant mechanical analysis the difference in the ballots and the ink. We know that there were hundreds of thousands of fraudulent ballots imported into the country, likely from China. We have video of some coming across the border from Mexico. There's other information of ballots being shipped from one state to another. In fact, there was a postal service driver, I think, who was sent from New York to Pennsylvania in the middle of the night with a truckload of ballots that was then used to, quote, backfill, end quote, the vote count. It's absolutely absurd. We have more evidence coming in today of a massive load of ballots, I think, from Arizona to Georgia. So they had these warehouses of counterfeit ballots in different parts of the country, apparently, and then shipped them in the middle of the night as needed to backfill in the states where President Trump's voters poured out in such great number that they broke the algorithm they had pre-programmed in the computers for Dominion to create the fraud. That's why they had to stop counting in five states. And that's why it's absolutely absurd to say that there wasn't voter fraud here. We have counterfeit ballots. We have dead people voting in by the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. There were something someone called phantom voters. There were just more manner and means of fraud than any law-abiding American citizen could possibly imagine. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And they were so in our face with it. And then to deny it is purely Machiavellian.
And then she was arrested and had her life destroyed. And they went to extraordinary lengths to silence these types of questions when, if the questions were meritless, when the suspicion, if the suspicion was unwarranted, then it would have been a matter of infinite simplicity to just answer the questions, provide the facts. That's not what happened. And I know I've made the argument a lot, but I probably haven't made it in a long time. With mail-in ballots, it's not a question of whether or not it was rigged. The process by which the 2020 election was held guaranteed that it was impossible to know whether or not your vote count was accurate. If you have absolutely no controls over where ballots come from, who actually filled them out, whether the actual person filled them out, or whether somebody filled out a ballot with their name on it, when there's no way of people to confirm that their ballots were received or not, it made it literally impossible for us to trust any results, because it's impossible to audit any results, because there is no chain of custody. There is no system by which you could guarantee any security of any aspect of the entire election. That was the purpose of it. And we again called that out months before it even happened, the whole time saying, this is ridiculous. You're mailing out ballots to people. People are getting ballots for people that haven't lived at the home for 20 years. They're getting ballots for their pets somehow. They're finding boxes of ballots on the side of the road on a regular basis. You cannot confirm or deny that the vote was valid because you have no idea where the votes came from or who cast them. It broke our entire system, and the results should have been kicked out for that reason alone. You know, what else has a chain of custody? Evidence in a murder case, right? Imagine trying a murder case and the prosecution just says, this knife, this is the murder weapon. You go, well, where did it come from? They go, don't worry about it. Well, where'd you find it? Doesn't matter. It's here now. It's the murder weapon. We promise. It's just like, no, you have to have the chain of custody. You have to show where it was found, who found it. They have to swear on their honor and, you know, take an oath that all the information they provide in the affidavit is legitimate. You need to actually follow the path of the item all the way up to the courtroom when it's presented as evidence, so you can guarantee this is in fact the knife that was used. But imagine if none of that was required. Well, it's COVID now, so we're going to do mail-in evidence. So now just if we get a package that says this is murder knife, then that's the murder knife now. Well, somebody sent it in from somewhere. Therefore, it is now evidence that you committed the crime. Like, it's so crazy that we allowed this to go on. They got away with it and that they threw people in jail for questioning it and surveilled 20% of the entire Congress because they also had questions about this. I mean, this whole thing was a extremely sophisticated, extremely high level, extremely widespread conspiracy to steal the election in 2020. Now, the good news is, and one thing we have to keep reminding ourselves, is that that was the best possible thing that could have happened. We didn't know. We didn't know at the time how the next 4 years would unfold. And, you know, maybe I'm not right about this because maybe the open border was so damaging. We'll like never recover from that. Maybe it really was a do or die moment for America. But I like Trump in 2024 a lot more than I would have liked him in 2020. If he had maintained his presidency, of course, he would be gone now, right? He'd be out of public office. He'd be out of public life. They could have just endured another 4 years of Trump, and then he would have been gone forever, and they could have gotten right back to putting two puppets on the stage and asking us to choose between them. They couldn't help themselves. They had to rig the election in 2020, which only means that Trump came back in 2024 that much more empowered. We've got J.D. Vance instead of Mike Pence. We've got Elon Musk and the tech bros backing up Trump in really powerful ways. None of that would have happened if they'd just let us vote in 2020. Sort of a similar theme throughout this whole show. Just like, chill, stop doing illegal crap, and it will actually probably work out for you. You know, that's what happens when you're actually pursuing a righteous goal, is even the interruptions turn out to be blessings. That is a very important lesson for all of us to learn. But we need to get justice for what was done to us in 2020. And it's not a question. We don't need an investigation. We need justice. We need it undone. We need to figure out exactly how it was carried off. But whether or not the election was stolen, to me, is not a question. It was. And you cannot present evidence that it wasn't. It doesn't exist. You can't tell me that the mail-in ballots were legitimate. You don't know that. And you cannot know that. That's the point of the mail-in ballots. In late July, the Georgia State Election Board voted 3-2 to pass a resolution seeking assistance from the Justice Department to re-examine the 2020 election in Fulton County. State Election Board member Janice Johnson, who introduced the resolution, said at the time, "This case is not closed. Transparency appears to have been frustrated at multiple turns in Georgia. The State Election Board has cited unexplained anomalies in vote tabulation and storage related to the 2020 election in a letter to you dated November 7th, 2024, the voting section of the Civil Rights Division has also been made aware in correspondence to it on August 1st, 2025 from voter transparency advocates of multiple instances of government obstruction of transparency requests, including high resolution ballot scans, signature verification documents, and various metadata requests." Well, why would they withhold that information? Why would they not want to provide that? If all of this suspicion is unfounded, providing that information would put the whole thing to bed, wouldn't it? Because they cheated. That's the answer. And, of course, Jack Smith launched this giant investigation on the crime of asking the very questions that are now being put in subpoenas. Let's go to clip 13 here. It looks like this investigation into the investigation, the charges into the persecution, is going to be a lot more widespread and a lot more powerful than we previously thought. I pray this is true. It's John Solomon talking to Steve Bannon about what's next for the Jack Smith case, the Arctic Frost case, the surveillance case, the Russiagate case, all of the criminal persecution that the Democrats did to Republicans between 2020 and 2024. Let's watch.
There is a real turning event. I think the big thing that's going to happen, Steve, I think the U.S. attorney in Miami is going to be made the key prosecutor, and this whole case is going to move down, and Jack Smith's final actions in Florida are going to move the case to Florida, and then we're going to go all the way back to maybe as early as 2014 in the IRS and look at this as one large grand conspiracy case to misuse the power of the FBI and the Justice Department to go after MAGA Nation. This is a MAGA dragnet. That's what you see here. And, you know, one FBI official I talked to today said what they did They took a boat into the ocean, and they were towing to find any license plate they could tag on Donald Trump's car. They were simply looking for anything. You don't do criminal investigations that way. You have to have a reason to look at Americans. That didn't happen here, according to the people who've reviewed this evidence.
Where is this investigation going to go, and what are the next, you believe, major reveals we're going to see?
I think some of the people who were part of Arctic Frost are going to get both congressional and grand jury subpoenas. People will be hauled before the court and forced to answer. And I want to remind people something that Jim Jordan said on our show last night. Jack Smith, two top deputies, have taken the Fifth Amendment, prosecutors have taken the Fifth Amendment about what they did in this case. What does that mean? They think they may have engaged in criminality. You can't take the Fifth Amendment if you don't think you have criminal liability. That is a stunning thing. We don't normally see prosecutors and FBI agents saying, I'm taking the Fifth. You know something serious is here. And I think what's going on now is that people are starting to get grand jury subpoenas. I've been talking to defense lawyers. There was about 20 or 30 that have gone out in the last couple of weeks. The big conspiracy is now being put together. Now, whether a grand jury indicts, whether you get convictions, we'll see. But they're looking at a decade as one criminal machine, that the Comey, McGarland, Jack Smith era was an ongoing criminal enterprise like a mob or mafia or drug kingpin. And the crimes were violating innocent American civil liberties to try to score a political score in politics. That is so extraordinary. I don't think I ever would have uttered those words, ever thought I would utter those words as a journalist. That's what went on here. All right, listen, Jack Smith is at the origins of the IRS case. There are emails between him and Lois Lerner that we focused on and some other people in the Justice Department. That same group carries all the way through the raid at Mar-a-Lago. The prosecution's up to 24. I think they're going to look at that as, hey, this was an effort to drain Republicans of money and reputation, maybe put some in prison to make sure that the populist movement that Donald Trump was building across America could be side-railed. They failed, and now because they failed, and we now have people like Kash Patel and Pam Bondi turning this evidence up, I think people could end up going to prison for this. I think we're moving towards that direction, and the evidence is really strong. I mean, I had career FBI agents very non-political look at this last night, like, my God, I've never seen anything like this in my life. What are we doing? This isn't FBI work. This is political opposition work. When people who wore the badge for 40 years start saying that about their old agency, you know something bad is rotten in Denmark.
So there you go. Very powerful stuff. He says he expects people to go to jail. I mean, they really have to. If anybody participated in this, they got to go to jail, whether it's the rigging of the election, the covering up of the rigging of the election, throwing people in jail for merely investigating the election, or throwing their lawyers in jail for defending them against the persecution. There was a gigantic mafia-style attack on the American Republic in 2020, and all the people that participated in it are out there walking around free as a bird. If that's the case in 2028, we're going to have a major, major problem. If we don't get this going now, these people are going to escape justice. And I, for one, will not stand for that. Stay tuned, folks. Very special hour coming up next. You're not going to want to miss it.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds,
When cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.
Therapists in the U.S. say they are seeing increasing numbers of patients with what they call Donald Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Trump derangement syndrome is clinically real.
It doesn't merely affect individuals, but entire political parties, rendering them unrecognizable.
1 minute, they're perfectly normal. The next, rabid.
The veneer of civilization is evaporating quickly. Families and culture are collapsing. And godless leftists are behaving just like zombies of modern lore.
You can't trust your mother.
Get the hell out of here!
Get the fuck out of here!
Your best friend.
Get that camera out of my head!
The neighbor next door.
Psychologist Dr. Stuart Bassman says for his clients, it started the morning after the election.
Doctors are seeing patients suffering from Trump anxiety disorder.
A number of people are manifesting what I would call post-traumatic stress disorder.
An overpowering fear that President Trump represents the end of the world.
Pray it doesn't happen to you.
Land of the dead!
Revit.
White males.
Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. And just like you said, Alex, we have suppliers that we work with, manufacturers that we work with in Florida, Utah, Arizona, and other places. We reached out to all of them and we asked them for a formula that would super enhance the effects of Methylene Blue, but also work as a standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shield your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement.
Batman, the Bat Computer's picked up a transmission from Alex Jones, and he's holding some kind of red serum.
Indeed, that appears to be Ultra Methylene Red, a powerful supplement, perhaps too powerful if it were to fall into criminal hands.
Holy neurotransmitters, Batman. What if the Riddler gets a hold of it? He could outthink us for once.
Precisely why we must act swiftly, old chum. To the Batmobile.
There he is, Batman. What's red, bottled, and drives your brain batty with brilliance? Ultra Methylene Red, of course.
The lesson I want you to learn is it doesn't matter what you look like. You can be tall or short, or fat or thin, or ugly, or handsome, like your father. You can be black or yellow or white. It doesn't matter. What does matter is the size of your heart and the strength of your character.
InfoWars.com.
I represent science.
A bioterrorist attack is the
nightmare scenario.
You will eat the bugs.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
The AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, I'm a bottle of pills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
Like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final hour of the War Room is on. We have a very special presentation for you this Halloween Eve. I know many of you are probably going to be sitting around, maybe watching InfoWars while you're handing out candy to kids, maybe have it on in the background. So I wanted to bring you something particularly spooky, probably the spookiest thing ever aired at InfoWars, and it was an early revelation by Alex Jones. It is, of course, Bohemian Grove. We talk a lot about it. It's referenced quite a bit in pop culture. But have you seen the actual footage? Have you seen the whole thing raw with the audio? It's one of the creepiest things in the world. And it's something that I think all info warriors have to come to terms with. It's sort of, for a lot of people, I know myself included, it was the first big revelation of something happening that truly is like having the rug pulled out from under you and you have to question everything. Because if the most powerful people in our country are getting together to perform a mock sacrifice of a child to an owl god, yeah, we got some real major concerns in this country. So while everybody's out there being spooked by ghosts and goblins and skeletons, the real terror is gallivanting in a forest in California. It's just one of the creepiest things ever, and it just... You have to come to terms with this is who we're ruled by. This is what they do. They think this is cool. They think this is spiritual. And once you understand that, a lot of their other decisions make a lot more sense. So we're going to spend this segment watching Bohemian Grove, and I'm just going to let it play the whole thing. And then we got more on the other side. So the second half of this hour will be another sort of venture into the archives, also about Bohemian Grove. Stay tuned for that. But I do want to remind you that thealexjonesstore.com is where you go to support us. No matter what we do, no matter what comes next, thealexjonesstore.com will be the fuel to power our rocket booster into the next world, thealexjonesstore.com. And we are unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales, 30 straight days of freedom fighting discounts that'll excite your wallet more than the Shilajit excites your wife. I think Chase wrote this copy. I have the feeling Chase Geyser wrote this copy, and now I'm reading it. Here's the red alert. These deals are fleeting. They're going to constantly change, and Bigly hasn't even told us when they will change, so we don't even know how long these deals will last. All we know is that you got to go to thealexjonesstore.com. If you see something you like, buy it while you can because the sale's going to change out. So make sure you're maybe bookmark thealexjonesstore.com. Go there regularly to see what is new. Basically 25% off site-wide right now. Every supplement, every hoodie, every shirt, every hat, 25% off, including Ultra Methylene Red or Life Force or any of the incredible supplements. This could end at any moment, maybe midnight tonight, maybe tomorrow. We don't know. So make your purchase now, 25% off store-wide, and then check in again in a few hours because you may have new discounts, new sales, new supplements on offer. So make sure you're signing up as a VIP. That way you'll save even more and get that $40 gift certificate for the $30 price. It's well worth it. And of course, you get access to the old tapes. And as we delve into the archives here, it'll remind you that all of the new stuff coming out is very important, very pertinent, but there's some gold in these archives. There is some gold that InfoWars has unleashed into the world over the last couple of decades. So without any further ado, I hope you all have a very spooky time watching this Bohemian Grove video from Alex Jones all the way back in the year 2000. The video that in a lot of ways started it all and revealed to the world the true psychological state of the American leadership. Here it is.
Given out to the spectators or the viewers, I guess an occultist would call them novices, who actually watched as the priest and their supporters engaged in this ancient rite. Now, you're looking at a little demon called PJ that was on the front of the actual program. It's kind of in a Hieronymus Bosch style. He's got a little broom and a dustpan, and he's sweeping something up. Now, even more shocking is the figure of a human body burning in the flames. In fact, I've shown it to people that are experts in anatomy, to actual doctors, and they say that the anatomical size is that of a baby or small child. Notice how large the cranium is in comparison to the torso, that is the ribs. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is from the program itself given out to the establishment lackeys witnessing these sinister activities. Remember, in Babylon and Tyre, they would throw their children into fiery pits. Look at the size of the hands compared to the rest of the body. Only children show these anatomical detail. At long last, here it is, the cremation of care unveiled. As we sat there in the darkness, not knowing what we were about to see in the gathering crowd, suddenly, across the small lake, we saw a carriage with men in black and brown cloaks, robes, in front and in back, bearing a bound body. Remember, it was a hidden camera and at somewhat of an angle. Something particularly pleasing was happening for the Bohemian Grovers with whatever developed with that crowd of men in black and brown and the bound body on the back of the buggy. They drove behind big black tarps they had hanging out of the trees. There was lots of smacking on lips of in bizarre enjoyment by the crowd. We still haven't made out exactly what was going on, but that a real sacrifice may have actually been developing according to some occult experts. All the time in the darkness across the small lake, the men in black were doing something behind the dark curtains hanging from the redwood trees. And after about 10 more minutes of music, suddenly all around the owl activity began. Here is the main central part of the ritual.
The owl is in his leafy temple. Let all within the grove be reverent before him. Lift up your heads, O ye trees, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting choirs. For behold, here is Bohemian shrine, and holy are the pillars of this house.
invite you into midsummer's joy. Sky above its blue, sown with stars. The forest floor is heaped with fragrant drifts. Evening's cool kiss is yours. The campfires glow. The birth of rosy fingered dawn. Shake off your sorrows with the city's dust and cast to the winds the cares of life. Let memory bring back the well-loved names of gallant friends who knew and loved this girl. Dear boon companions of the long ago, I, let them join us in this ritual. Not a place to be empty in our midst. Oh, beauty vassals, who hold in this gray autumn of the world or springtime in your heart, a 10-hour tale. Gather ye forest folk and cast your spell over these mortals. Touch their world-blind eyes with fairy unseen. Hope their eyes answer. Follow the memories of yesterday and seal the gates of sorrow. It is a dream. And yet, not all of you. Dull care and all of his works are but a dream. As vanished Babylon and goodly Tyre, so shall they also vanish. But the wilding rose blows on the broken battlements of Tyre, and wolf rends the stones of Babylon. For beauty is eternal, and we bow. Everlasting. For lasting happiness, return to one alone. As she surrounds you now, great nature, refuge of the weary heart, and only balm for crusts that have been bruised. She has cool hands for every favorite brow, and gentlest silence for the troubled soul. The consuls are most wise. She healeth well, having such ministries as calm and sleep. She is ever faithful. Other friends may fail, but seek ye her in any quiet place. Smiling, she will rise and give to you her kiss. So must ye come as children. Little children that believe, don't ever doubt her beauty and her faith. Nor deem her tenderness can change your guide.
Video of this later, and let's see if you can pick up all the different occultic meanings in the speeches you're about to hear.
Thank you.
the shadowy tide, and all the ancient majesty of death. No arch enemy of human. Not for me the test is the gift, or the rest will rain. Fire shall have its will of thee, and all the winds make merry with thy dust. Bring fire!
Grant us thy counsel.
Oh, for the
eternal flame. Once again, Midsummer sets us free.
There could have an effect like methylene blue and synergistically work with it to boost it and supercharge it. So I got with Bigley. They've been making supplements long before I got with them. And I got with Chase, who's really smart. And I said, I want you to go to a couple of different formulators and ask them what you think's the best. Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. And it works with Methylene Blue. And it works without it. And unlike Ultra Methylene Blue that you can't take if you're on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or certain other medications, nothing in this has any of those counterindications, but still consult your physician. But when you take it with Ultra Methylene Blue, it just does synergistic things that are amazing. I mean, I had this idea like a month into Methylene Blue exploding. I said, we got to come out with something that's complementary or even better. This is the research from that. You can buy three bottles, get 25% off. Buy two bottles, get 20% off. Buy one bottle, get 15% off. And when you subscribe and you cancel any time, it locks it in at 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. So I'm incredibly proud. And so we put this together as both a Methylene Blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. It's got 5 grams of TMG, a methyl donor juggernaut that recycles homocysteine, fueling DNA repair and detoxifying your brain. It's got acetyl L-carnitine in it. It's a brain-penetrating carnitine that floods your mitochondria with ATP, which is basically energy and reverses cognitive aging. It's got uridine monophosphate in it. the synaptogenesis rocket fuel that grows new dendritic spines and locks in razor-sharp memory and just so much more. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge, huge product that we've sold in different forms in the past. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, antioxidant, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps people with depression, according to these studies I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
So that's what you're getting with us, Ultramethylene Red. Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with because this is what we take, and it's common sense to want to sell somebody something that really works. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, folks, welcome back. Final segment for this Halloween broadcast of the War Room. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you're already eating a lot of candy. We got one more video from the archives to show you, sort of a follow-up to the Bohemian Grove segment. This is Joe Rogan learning about Bohemian Grove for the first time, and it's a great clip for a lot of reasons. For one thing, you can see how these guys really haven't changed much in all the years in between this video and today. Joe Rogan still sort of answering or asking questions in the way that he does. Alex, of course, the same guy he's always been. This was immediately after Alex Jones snuck into Bohemian Grove, and he's talking to Joe Rogan about it. And you can hear Joe Rogan's already sort of he's vibing with the conspiracy realm. He already knows some stuff, but you can hear sort of disbelief when Alex explains exactly what Bohemian Grove is. And this has to be sort of a watershed moment. You know Joe Rogan was never the same after he met with Alex Jones. Same thing happened to Tucker Carlson. And it's a reminder that the biggest voices in the world right now are either Alex Jones or people who awoke to the reality of the world because of Alex Jones. Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, you can trace their awakening directly back to Alex Jones and, you know, exposing to them what was really behind a lot of the decisions made by the elites in this country and really around the world. So this is another just great clip from the archives. Alex Jones, Joe Rogan learning about Bohemian Grove for the first time. And this wasn't where it necessarily started, but you can see a very, very, you know, early on in this timeline, how we ended up where we are now with InfoWars being an indomitable force in the media scene. And of course, the people that we've inspired dominating even more. So, please enjoy. And I remind you, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, massive sales. The whole month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales are already on with 25% off site wide. So go get an incredible supplement. Go get a piece of, fashion from thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. And without any further ado, I'm just going to let this video play for the remainder of the show because it really is good and insightful and fun to look back at sort of where all of this got started early on. That, you know, you see two guys who have no idea the impact and influence and world-changing future they have ahead of them. It's very fascinating stuff. Here's Joe Rogan and Alex Jones all the way back in the early 2000s. Enjoy, folks.
You've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it then.
You've seen it.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen George Bush kill anybody.
Okay, well, but I have 100 news articles admitting they go in there.
What did you see?
There's like a big camp in North California where these guys go and do these rituals, like world leaders go to do these rituals.
And I'm the first, we snuck in and got it. But I mean, it just sounds crazy.
They have no security?
No, I snuck back to Secret Service and everybody. We were going to do it that way. There's like mountains, and it's in this gorge, but it's in the middle of nowhere. And we just snuck in, and then we're kind of dressed, you know, in khaki, real calm. Once we got there are two checkpoints. Then there's the big parking area where the gorge starts. So we snuck around in the mountains into the parking area, and then just acted normal. Got on board, drove in. We got questioned a few times, but we were real calm. Plus, we had intel from inside on different names of camps and stuff. The camps are like big, long cabin mansions built to the size of the cliff.
Right.
And then they have like this lake. front of it, there's this big stone owl they brought from like Babylon. And they all, you know, get these
Babylon.
Robes. Yeah.
Like the original Babylon.
Look, I know this all sounds like.
I'm open. I empty myself. I listen.
No, but we'll send it to you. I mean, you have to see it.
I would love to see it. So what happens?
So they go through this whole ritual and talk about, you know, all this. I mean, it's not like Anton LaVey in a red costume or something with fake plastic horns. This is like all the regalia. It's serious. It was left over from the time before Christians were around when this stuff wasn't basically illegal. I mean, and then they
and
just...
who was there? George W.
They all go. There's 2,000 elitists from all over the world. Heads of Hollywood, media, banking mainly, and Republicans. Arnold Schwarzenegger goes there. And so I'm sitting there catching this on video, but 1,500 plus people just watch it. Because you call it a lake. They call it a lake. It's just a pond in the middle of the gorge.
And Bruce wants that?
I don't know about that. See, all we have confirming who goes there is the media saying, oh, there's these... In fact, on my website, we have dozens of mainstream articles where they admit that they go there, but they say, oh, there's rumors of weird rituals. This is ridiculous, they say, you know, the media.
Right, of course.
And then the British media hired me to go in there because they were afraid to. And so we snuck through and got the footage, and they have rights and I have joint rights.
Now, what does the footage show, and how close up is it?
We're about 175 yards away, and it...
You know, zooming on it? You
no, no, because
clearly?
It's hidden in a little camera right here.
All right.
But at the same time, I mean... Here's the screen. Here's the ritual going on about that big. With about
you saw George and you saw George
no,
W.
No, we know that George Bush goes there.
Right.
They announced on CNN a few days later that George Bush has chosen Dick Cheney as his VP running mate from Bohemian Grove. So they admit they go there. I'm hiding out in the woods with a camera once I get through, once I get in. So I'm not like walking up going, who are you?
So
plus they're wearing hoods.
Who do you see? Oh, so you don't see anybody's face.
It's like Eyes Wide Shut. They're
right.
wearing
okay.
they're wearing the hoods. See, that's why Hollywood puts these movies out, because they're all really involved in it. And believe me, I never covered this type of crap. The British hired me to do it. And it may air on A&E next year, but they say to get it aired, they're going to have to water it down and say, oh, it's just frat fun. So they're going to show it and say, it's just frat fun.
Now, there's a body that's bound?
Yes, they bring a bound body up. A guy in a black hood brings it up on a boat.
The person's dead already?
You don't know if it's real. They claim it's an effigy.
Okay.
A sacrifice in effigy. They tell you that. And then they take the body up there, and they burn it, and they have screams of pain come out of these loudspeakers, and everybody claps, and this weird chanting, and then it's over.
You have all this on tape?
All of it on
pain,
tape.
Everything?
It's revolutionary, yep.
Now, is there any way to prove? I mean, I'm not saying that you
we can prove they go there. I mean, everybody knows they
no,
go
what
there.
What I'm saying is that the tape, can you prove that it hasn't been... edited? I mean, you know, people are going to look at that and hear screams of pain. They're going to think, well, he added that shit later.
We have the original footage. I mean, and plus we had World of Wonder with us. So, yeah.
And World of Wonder is what?
It's like there's only four channels in it. Yeah.
Right,
yeah. And so they claim that's the one that's independent. The other three are BBC, but it is. It's basically BBC, but it's World of Wonder.
Now, how close do you get it up on these people? I mean, who do you see anyone's face, or is it just all everyone's totally hooded, or what?
Well, I was saying...
Wait, you personally. Who did you personally eyewitness? Who did you see that you could identify?
I saw people that I've seen on the news and things, like the heads of corporations and stuff. And we caught on tape, like, posters of George Bush and people. You walk by camps. But I was staying away from the crowds. You get inside this big 2,700 acres. You try to stay away from it. And then the ritual starts. That's what we did that night, every July 15th. You can go there next year. It's an hour and a half over to San Francisco, right outside the small town of Monterio, in between Occidental.
Well, how can I go there?
If you want to stick to the mountains or sneak past the Secret Service, it'll be going on at 9 o'clock sharp on July 15th.
I think I got a date.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is they're so arrogant that they do this every year at the same time, but they're the Christian right, they're the good Christians, and they sit there and get away with all this. And you're right, there are your intro, I mean, they're all a bunch of fake presidents. But seriously, I was just telling you about it because it's shocking. We actually wanted to get you talking about your little intro there with the whole Kennedy thing and how it's all basically fake and how we have fake presidents. That's true.
Dude, listen to this. I was in, I read that book by David Lifton.
You
read that book, Best Evidence? This is the first time I had a friend of mine who was, it was one day we were smoking dope, and it was in New York. I had been like doing comedy like a couple of years, and this friend of mine had this roommate who was like a musician. His roommate was a musician, and he was like a conspiracy theorist, and he had lived like in upstate New York, and apparently there was this other guy who was a musician who had Jackie Gleason's old home. And Jackie Gleason, apparently Nixon took Jackie Gleason to see like actual wreckage of a UFO that they have somewhere in like in Ohio, like Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Yeah.
Jackie Gleason, apparently, and this is true and this is documentable, was fascinated by UFOs and had this actual replica of this thing built in his backyard.
Yeah.
And this guy bought it. Whoever this musician was, I forget because I'm stoned. But this guy gave me this book, Best Evidence, and I didn't think anything of it. And then I was working in Philadelphia. And like a lot of time you work on the road, like now I can bring like the people I work with, but back then I couldn't, so I'd be like, I didn't want to hang out with some soul comedian. So I'm sitting at home or sitting in the hotel room reading this book, and I pick up this Best Evidence, and I start reading, and I'm freaking the out.
Because it all makes sense because you've seen stuff.
Well, not only does it make sense, but it makes sense because this guy is not a conspiracy theorist. This guy was
documentation.
A clerk.
Yeah.
He was a clerk. He was an accountant. He was a guy who was going over the whole idea about the Warren Commission report was that it was so big and so huge that no one would ever possibly go through it.
And then you've got Arlen Specter with his magic bullet, and today they still use him for every major huge whitewash.
Right. Well, and they didn't even come up with the magic bullet theory until that one guy who got hit by a ricochet, and they proved it, that a bullet had hit the granite. I'm f***ing fascinated by it. And that was, at that moment, this is like 1994 maybe, at that moment I became obsessed with like the Kennedy assassination. And I've read, you know, book after book after book about it, but that one book by David Lifton, Best Evidence, just freaked me out. I mean, the more I'm reading into it, the more it shows the contradictions. I mean, it's not like the guy making something up. It's in the Warren Commission report. It's everything. It's showing how the casket was empty. It's showing how the autopsy was totally different from Dallas than it was in Bethesda.
And later his brain got stolen.
Yeah, his brain disappeared after the Zapruder film was released, right? It's all after. Because the Zapruder film was released, it was almost 10 years afterwards, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing nuts. Back and to the left. You watch that video, and you go, what the f***? I mean, anybody who watches it, you know, and then it's almost like, you know, you see a guy like the Oliver Stone film, and you go, like, okay, some of it I'm buying into, but it's almost like he went over the line on purpose, like, to discredit himself, like, by adding people that didn't exist and using people as tools to, like, move the story along. Like, why would you, you know, does it make sense why you would do, why, any sane man, why would a, I mean, I want to know your opinion, why would a sane man who's got trying to do something and expose something, why would he open himself up to criticism by creating
I'll tell you why.
Please.
I was talking to the British media, and they said, well, this is really hot footage, and it's going to be on World of Wonder, and we may be able to sell it to HBO, definitely Discovery Channel, because they'd already done a bunch of specials that aired here as well, for BBC for the USA or World of Wonder for the USA. Some of those shows, you'll see that at the end. They said, we're going to have to basically water this thing down and make it a joke that, well, yeah, world leaders really do dress up in these robes, but it's like frat fun.
Or so, just as if they air it on A&E.
Yeah, and so they have to kind of, well, even in England now, they have to kind of throw in something to make it and kind of discredit it and make me look like a freak in it on top of it. But that's okay, Alex, because, you know, it's going to be a big production, maybe a two-hour special.
So why does Oliver Stone create some fictional character to help move the story along?
That's the same reason. When they have so much evidence, Hollywood won't let them sell it. It's okay to throw it in our face a little bit, but then they have to be able to pick holes in it in the media for certain people.
So who?
It's called desensitizing us. They want to condition us. They just simply say, we're not going to buy that. That's going to fail. We're not going to promote that. I mean, that's how the whole thing's controlled. But they want a little reality out there.
Okay, so they're
like you mentioned The Running Man.
Right.
I mean, already they're doing crap like that. Not just violent shows, but like cops conditioning us, again, that key word, acclimating us.
They actually are doing a fugitive show. It's a fake fugitive, though.
Yeah.
It's a guy who, his job is to get across the country. This is going to be another show on Fox, by the way. His show, his purpose, is to get across the country. His goal is to get, like, cross-country without getting caught. And what they're planning on doing is having people call in phone lines. If you see this guy, they're going to make this guy like a fake fugitive. They're going to have people call up.
That's part of training everybody to be petty enforcers. Little tattletales like Nazi Germany, where one in 10 people was an
informative.
But is it that, or is it simply entertainment? Because I know one of the guys who puts that on. I know a guy who actually.
And he's probably a good person, and it's a good concept, and people want to watch it. But also, it still serves the same purpose. And you ask, why would Oliver Stone put that in there? Why would he screw the film up on purpose?
Right. Why would did he have to?
Why would he weaken it? Yes, from my personal experience, you want something to be shown, you have to weaken what you're saying in the mainstream media.
So you think he did it on purpose? But if he did it on purpose,
they only want to give small doses.
But why didn't he say it? Why didn't he come out and say, the reason why I put these fictional characters, the reason why I opened myself up to criticism by taking creative license with history is because I was forced to do that to release it.
I don't know Oliver Stone, and I can't say in this case that's what he's doing.
Has Oliver Stone ever seen any of your stuff?
Never seen him to him, no.
Why don't you send him to find out what happened?
Yeah.
I think anybody who sees any of your gonna freak out.
Well, see, I mean, Kevin made a best of it's some of the more funny stuff, but I've got a 2-hour special with military checkpoints in Texas, black helicopters attacking Kingsville, Texas, February 8th of last year, burning a police station. Anybody doubts me, call Kingsville, Texas, ask the black helicopters attacking them last year. No, burning police stations. I mean, I'm living in the Twilight Zone. I expect to hear that music anytime. See Rod Serling come, walking out, the world turns black and white. Call Kingsville, Texas, February 8th. It's pretty close here on the Texas coast. Black helicopters come raging in, burning buildings, automatic weapons fire.
Why?
To condition the public, to shock us, to test the media, and to see if they had full control. Call the police chief and ask if black helicopters attacked. Call the mayor and ask.
Now,
what about San Antonio? They tried to hit San Antonio, and their police chief threw them out. That was actually in the paper. But then they came back anyways. They didn't care if the police chief said no. But they were testing their media grid. It was only in the San Antonio Express News. Didn't make it out nationwide.
This is your opinion on Waco, too. That
we have the Texas Ranger report. We have General Parton, who was in Air Force Weapons Development.
Right.
They had a bunker in there that was really the church records vault, the original building that they built onto. It was concrete.
Right.
They were all hiding in there. There's a shape charge, blew them to pieces. The head of the FBI crime lab quit over it, Dr. Frederick Weinhurst, who had been threatening his life. The head of CIA Foreign Security, who runs Delta Force operators, these secret military teams, quit when they were bragging about killing the women, machine gunning them. Gene Cullen is in a congressional safe house right now under Senator Grassley's protection.
We've got evidence
coming out of our ears.
Have you ever?
Stacks of it.
But you think that this is all someone is making people do all these things to condition them? Have you ever thought that possibly it's because these people are so inept and bloodthirsty and psychotic? That's why they got into the military in the first place. That's why they got in the ATF in the first place.
They let
those people run amok, and they up that whole Waco compound, and they did it because they were inept, because they're psychotic.
Well,
people covered
April
up because
19th.
Of people above.
You're right.
But is it possible that it's not because people are being conditioned? It's just because people who are in those positions aren't sane people in the first place. A sane person doesn't want to be a military guy in the ATF. A sane person doesn't want to be in the FBI. You have to be a little up to want to do that in the first
place. You have to want to power. I mean, you were talking about tonight, little dick syndrome.
Right, but you think that those people are capable of making this massive conspiracy, or is it possible they're just inept?
Well, I know this. If you start reading the establishment,
but if
you
ever thought of that, then instead of a giant conspiracy, they're inept.
Well,
that everybody else above them who's responsible for their actions is covering up.
Well,
like,
I absolutely agree with you. Well, it reflects on them, you're right.
It does.
But did you ever think that the establishment picks from the inept and brings up at the top? Because they'll keep their mouths shut, because they're criminals. But listen,
and psychos.
If you want to read stuff, what you have to read is what the elite, the actual elite, are saying. Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. Well, who are these people? Royalty's dead. Oh, yeah, they own these Dutch roll shells all over the place. They own a third of the real estate in many countries. They own half of Africa. They're killing people by the millions every year. They got 700,000 Chinese troops under control right now in Sudan, killing all the Christians. That's going on. You don't hear about it on the news. We always hear about how the British royal family, they're dead, they're gone, they're this, burnout group, make fun of the tabloids. They own half of Canada. So you read their publications like Foreign Affairs, put out by the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR. It's all world government. We're going to give it to you. We're going to take your car in the next 20 years. We're going to put you in compact cities. You're going to get on those trains. You're going to get on those buses. They're bragging. They're so arrogant. Counting, we won't check that out. They brag about how they do this. But you're right. They use inept people, psychos at the bottom, because they're all compartmentalized. They do what they're told, and nobody really puts it all together.
Well, look, I believe a lot of this is possible, and I've read a lot of things about what the actual purpose of FEMA is. You know, it's a, you know, it's the idea.
Federally murdered emergency management agency.
But it's not. It's a police state.
Yeah.
The idea is that if an emergency occurs, if something occurs, they will bypass the
government. I was given tours of concentration camps with CNN and everybody else out in California. They practiced a mock takeover of Oakland last year. The Marines land by the tens of thousands, foreign German troops in black uniforms. And CNN and everybody else, ABC, they're just lined up with cameras. They're just lined up. And I'm going, my God, they're admitting that the Marines are trained to put Americans in camps. And the Marines are going, in case of a terrorist attack, we're ready to round people up and deal with them. I'm sitting there videotaping the whole deal with Mike Hansen, my cameraman. I go home to the hotel that night, turn it on. I'm sitting there watching it. The Marines are training for earthquakes in foreign countries. That's the control. That's the control. Think about it. Look, man, I'll send you all the videos. I got stuff so hardcore. I got guys in black uniforms admitting they're getting ready to fight Americans.
Well, what you call the funny stuff that Kevin sent freaked me out enough.
Oh, man. Am I bullshitting about black helicopters?
Yeah, I think you're bullshitting, man.
Do I have video of black helicopters of burning police stations?
Well, part of that's in my video.
You're telling them it's an urban warfare training. I mean, you're just coming out of the blue and you're having
I know there's so much. That's another problem. So you've already scratched the surface and now gone deeper. 99.9% will never ask that question. Once you find out about this crap, it's like, my God, man, they control everything. And they're bringing everybody into this, slowly conditioning us to where we can accept more and more, and then it's all over. And what it's really about is you brought cloning up. It won't be like the sixth day where it's real simple. Huh?
Like it's a shitty movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought it was all right, but and I watched it last night, but...
Terrible, man.
I like mindless action movies. But the point is, it's not like it's the sixth day where they clone you and they.
You like mindless action movies when you're a conspiracy theorist?
I like everything. But the point is,
you don't like.
Whoa,
everything.
You like Sinbad?
No,
say you like Sinbad. I gotta go.
No, I don't like Sinbad.
Okay, you don't like everything then.
No, I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you and tell you that I don't like
Gallagher.
Huh?
Gallagher?
I never really watch it. What, the guy with the curly hair?
Yeah, it's the fruit.
No, I don't know.
Smashes fruit.
Man, to tell you the truth, I work so hard. No, but seriously, the point is
Friends.
He's only 26.
No, but she likes Friends.
He's too young to know who Gallagher is.
No, I know 26.
You're 26.
I know all the girls. It's from working, man. I work.
I thought you was like.
I didn't sleep.
You're 26.
2 days this week. Yeah.
I'm 7 years older than you.
Well, you look younger than me, man.
I had the same reaction.
Kobe,
my
niece.
You got an old soul.
Yeah,
I'll show you. She's my ID. Got a camera.
He wants to see my national. Now, this is an expired driver's license.
Well, I saw the whole thing, or you wouldn't show the thumbprint. Yeah, no, I got that, bro. Who's it?
That's me, skinnier, man. I like burn out, man.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, look, I don't just make this stuff up because I couldn't get away with it.
What's right?
I mean, I'm on about 100 radio stations, which is nothing. But at the same time, I can sit there 3 hours a day and talk about this stuff and bring it out. And I name names.
I'm getting pretty good here.
And it's...
I still freaking out that you're 26.
They let me go on the air.
Here, Alex, somebody at home.
I'm just
cloning.
Babbling.
Where are you going? You brought up human...
I was asking a question about...
I'm sorry.
The cloning thing.
How about human cloning?
Look,
you brought up human cloning.
The race is... They're already cloning humans in England, and they admit it. But they don't let them grow up, see? You're sitting there reading a Sunday Times of London story. Because I scan the news wires for like 2 hours every morning, so does she. And I was sitting there, bam, 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 real news. They're looking at it from all over the world. And they go, the first few stories, they have now cloned humans. They're at embryonic stages. And then, boom, suddenly, it's stem cell research. It's stem cell research. They grow up to 14 days. You know, we were all there once, this big. Then they kill them. They're about to pass a law in England where they can go ahead and grow up to full size. That doesn't even make the news here. They broke the speed of light in England and at MIT in this country 3 months ago, times 300. No,
wasn't that this proof? Well, didn't they think that was a mistake?
What?
That was a mistake in the calculations? No, the idea was that they accelerate whatever particle it is, and it actually goes through before the light goes through.
Yeah.
So the idea is that they can send information to someone before the event actually happens.
Yeah, and then you see the story come out later because the scientists release it.
Right.
Three different areas, and then they tell you, that wasn't true. Same thing with the cloning. Well, we're cloning humans, and just what I said before, and they say, that's not true.
I don't have enough information in the back of my head.
See, I haven't even gotten
up right now, but...
What I'm doing is...
I understand it was a mistake in the
calculation. At three different major institutions. Italy.
Was it three different major institutions?
Yes.
I thought it was only one where they did the research.
No, it was three major ones.
See,
right before you use that argument, I understand.
I'm not even arguing.
In my cloning story before, I said they come out and say it's not true.
Right.
just like we cloned Dolly the sheep all 3 years ago. We're just telling you about it.
Yeah,
now.
But isn't it possible that a scientist wanted to get notifications?
They do that all the time.
Wanted to get
notoriety, yes,
acceptance for his, you know, or funding for his.
My whole
ideas.
Point is this.
So he releases, you know, false information or information that might be shady about.
Well, I agree with you, but here's the key point. That's not even my point on that. The point is there's massive scientific things happening. 50 years ago, break the speed of sound, massive news worldwide. Humans always mark our progress. That's part of what we do.
Right.
Now these huge things are happening. We hardly even talk about it.
This is a really interesting
Here's
article
the question.
That I read the other day about artificial intelligence, about when people create artificial intelligence, the artificial intelligence will in turn create more potent artificial intelligence, and this has all happened within moments. Within moments of the original, once initial artificial intelligence is created and it's given its own
geometry,
right, it will increase logarithmically, like immediately, like within days, within hours, within minutes. I'm not even sure, but artificial intelligence will create more potent artificial intelligence, which will create better artificial intelligence, and within like weeks or months or whatever, it will so bypass any human thinking because it'll have the ability to create.
And we won't even be able to work on it.
But it's a really interesting article. You give me an email.
So you're into all this stuff, and that's very unusual. But the point is, why isn't this the main debate on the news?
But
on television?
This is they'll my say, question about all this. Is what's the benefit from the people?
Because they want all the advanced life extension technology. That's what I'm trying to get to. They have to dumb us down to the level of suboid idiots down here in our loincloths. So we're not
believe that most people are in fact suboid idiots, and it's not a matter of dumbing them down. It's pretty easy. You give them wealth.
Therapists in the U.S. say they are seeing increasing numbers of patients with what they call Donald Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Trump derangement syndrome is clinically real.
It doesn't merely affect individuals, but entire political parties, rendering them unrecognizable.
1 minute, they're perfectly normal. The next, rabid.
The veneer of civilization is evaporating quickly. Families and culture are collapsing. And godless leftists are behaving just like zombies of modern lore.
You can't trust your mother.
Get the hell out of here!
Get the fuck out of here!
Your best friend.
I get that camera out of my face.
The neighbor next door.
Psychologist Dr. Stuart Bassman says for his clients, it started the morning after the election.
Doctors are seeing patients suffering from Trump anxiety disorder.
A number of people are manifesting what I would call post-traumatic stress disorder.
An overpowering fear that President Trump represents the end of the world.
Pray it doesn't happen to you.
Land of the dead!
Revit.
White males.